All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 16th, 2014. We're going to start off with a reading in 2 Chronicles. And then after we do that, I think we'll make a few short announcements, then we're going to look at the indictment or the true bill that we wrote. We'll go through that a little quickly, hopefully, and we'll finish up the updates, and then we'll go into a Q&A. But anyway, I was reading my Bible this week, and I came upon these chapters, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I thought this might be a very good chapter for us to read because there's a lot of promises in here, and well, there's a big promise in here, and the way God works with his people. And if by God's grace we are his people, and we bend our knee, he might have mercy on us. And I do believe in miracles. Of course, you know, nothing on a grand scale has happened in perhaps thousands of years. But when you read your Bible, wow, was God busy way back when. And certainly the people back then didn't deserve it, and we are no better or no worse than them. We're probably worse than them, maybe. I don't know. Clearly we're not any better than them. Let me read these verses. I found this to be very uplifting, and I've been reading a lot of verses similar to this or things similar to this that really gives me a lot of a lot of hope. By the way, Gerard, if I start to fade out or disappear or something goes wrong, get to me on Skype. I've got your page open. Just hit a lot of, you know, put something in the text a few times.
Yep,
I'll hear the ping.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right, 2 Chronicles we're going to read, chapter 20. We're going to read only up to 24. And it starts off, and it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be Hazatama, which is Ingled." And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And the key thing here is that he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judea. You know, over in Jonah 3:5, we read about the people of Nineveh that God was going to destroy, and the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. In other words, they repented and put on sackcloth. They heard the gospel and repented. They heard the word of God and repented, from the greatest of them even to the least of them, and God did spare Nineveh. So they proclaimed the fast throughout all Judea. And Judea gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And I think that's exactly where we're at. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of Jehovah before the new court and said, "O Jehovah, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thine hand is not there power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou, O God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel, before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, when thou wilt hear and help. Then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou judge them For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judea stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benna, the son of Jeel, the son of Manathiah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And the Lord said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And I think that's the key right here. The battle we fight is not our battle, it's God's battle. I truly believe that. It's a battle of righteousness, a battle of justice, a battle of mercy. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeul. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of Jehovah. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground. And all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Jehovah, worshiping Jehovah and the Levites of the children of the Kenites and of the children of Kenites, stood up to praise Jehovah God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Jehovah, that they should praise his beauty and holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So they ended up fighting against each other, and they destroyed each other. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen on the earth, and none escaped. So this is an amazing battle. And I read something like this a little earlier on in the Bible. I think it was 1,100,000 people, an army. And from reading it, it appeared as if God just wiped them out. Clearly, that's what he did here. This was the Lord's battle. It wasn't ours. And, you know, maybe it is the case. They will destroy themselves. Clearly, they are on a path of doing that, and by God's mercy, they will. So I think we have to turn to the Lord. And, of course, we've been saying that for as long as we've been talking about these things. Okay, let me move on. Just a few quick updates. As we talked about a little earlier this evening, heard other people talk, and we added on two more states, Colorado and Alabama. We now have 16 states. We're expecting a few more states to come in within the next week, and a few more. They should be moving right along here. And hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll have at least half of the states, 26, and that's the key, because that's the tipping point, in my opinion. So let's keep pushing along. Those states that haven't, completed constituting or started constituting the counties yet, get a hold of Sheila from Massachusetts. I'm sure she's been contacting all of the state coordinators around the nation and with others working with her to try to really push this along. because part of our plan is really to we have to be positioned. We have to be appreciated by them in fear, actually. I think when we send these papers out within the next few days, they're going to see the list of all of these states. Before it was just New York, and now it's 16, maybe more states by the time we get the letter out. But anyway, Unified Seals are traveling through the mail right now, and I do have about five of them, I think, or four, I think five of them. We're waiting for a total of about 16. There are other states that haven't constituted yet that should be sending them out. I know they're getting their seals. Every state should get at least that one seal right away, that unified seal for their state. The state leaders or coordinators, shall I say, should get together and get that seal so that they're ready. You know, we had a state a while back that kind of sat on the sidelines and wasn't doing anything. They were kind of waiting for New York to do something, and we talked about that. We did get that state moving, and now they are constituting. But we have other states that are doing the same thing, at least one other, maybe two. And it's like, well, we'll wait to see what happens in New York. They don't seem to be pushing too hard. That's a fatal error. Do not wait, because the power of this is the people. Not one person, not one of the people, the people. If we don't all rise up and do this, we're not going to save this nation. And of course, we have to go with a bent knee, because ultimately it is God that's going to do the work. But we have to do our part. We have to stand up for righteousness. We have to declare, shout the truth, bring forth back into our courts a sense of mercy and righteousness and justice and honor. So these are the things we have to do, and if we are within the will of God, it may be he may be merciful to us. Okay, booklets. I have not received the proof yet. I was kind of hoping I'd receive it before the weekend, or at least over the weekend. I haven't. I haven't checked the mail since early this morning, so could be in the mail today, and hopefully tonight I'll get to the mail or tomorrow. And hopefully the booklets are in, and we'll get that proof going, and then we'll get a delivery date on the booklets. So anybody who hasn't ordered booklets yet and wants the booklets, it's the Jurist Handbooks, by all means, please start. Get your order now, and they should be coming in soon. And if people head out to the website and they click on services, and then you can click on the Jurist Handbooks, and there's some information on that. You can actually get a copy and download a copy and read it and get an idea, of what the booklet. Well, you can see exactly what the booklet's going to be, but just in a larger size. So the booklets should be coming soon. We will be posting the indictment. I think everybody knows at this point we did indict that federal judge. We sent him a writ of error. I should hope that everybody has got up already and read that writ of error. And now we're going to send the indictment in. We also found the chief judge. I think his name is Sharp, if I recall. We had thought that maybe this guy was the chief judge. At least that was what we were led to believe by talking to people up in Albany. He's the guy. It turns out that he wasn't. So we are going to be sending a letter to this chief judge at the same time we're sending out the indictment. We'll send him a copy of that indictment. And we'll read that letter maybe next week. We'll post it. Again, we'll post the indictment up tonight. People will be able to go up and read it tonight or tomorrow, after the program tonight. It's not going to go out yet until we get all the seals, though. We're waiting on the seals. We would have sent it out this morning if we had all the seals, but we just don't. And the power is in the people, and how many, the fact that how many states are coming up to make a stand. What I'd like to do, though, is just quickly go through this true bill, which I have dated being filed tomorrow, the 17th. Today's the 16th. We'll leave that date on it, and if it doesn't go out tomorrow and it goes out the next day, we'll just change that date later on. I doubt it's going to go out tomorrow, but I hope it'll go out the next day. Again, I'm waiting for the papers to come in from all the states. So let's take a look at this indictment. You know, one of the things we had is, we talked about this last week, a guy named Eric that was writing some stuff and, you know, beating us up a little bit, saying we didn't have standing, we didn't have standing. If there's anything that we here at National Liberty Alliance understand, it is standing. If there's anything I think we've ever been careful of is making sure we position ourselves with standing. Some people want us to say all kinds of different things. They have a certain formula that all of a sudden, I guess, you know, the judges are going to read and say, they got the formula, we got to obey, and let's give them what they want, because, you know, that's it. Well, look, they're not going to give in under no circumstances until the pressure mounts so bad that they have no choice. And then they got to hope that they can hide or get away with all the crimes they've been committing. One of the reasons why they're not giving in is I truly believe they understand. Well, anybody who reads this thing, I think including these judges, of course, they understand. This scene will keep going. We're coming along. It's like the turtle and the hare. And we're just going to keep on coming, and the tortoise and the hare. Going to keep on coming and keep on coming. And we're going to get there. And I think they see it. You know, every time they think they foil us, we do something else. And we just keep moving forward. We kind of have a lot of ideas of what we're going to do, but we don't really know particularly until we get to a certain point. But now we do have a plan. We did talk a little bit about it last week, and we'll just quickly skim through it again tonight. But I want to just go through this presentment, and I think reading this presentment, I may not read every part of it. I may do some skipping just to get through it. It's 5 pages, but it's double-spaced. You know, it's got big borders on it and, you know, a lot of footnotes, so it's not really 5 pages. It's just a couple of pages, but it's spread out over 5 pages. And, you know, the first page itself is pretty well spread out. So what I'd like to do is just read some of this, because I think this will... Some people have said, you know, we got to make sure, you know, maybe listen to this guy, or we do have to make sure we got the standing. And, of course, we agree with that. And again, we're clear that we have it. And I think by reading through this, or at least a few places, I think you'll see we have it. And again, I truly believe, well, I know whenever we write, we're always thinking of standing. We cry out our standing almost every paragraph. But anyway, this is a presentment under common law. It's labeled up on the top, the New York Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury, and it caps off right above with Psalms 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we are in a time of mourning, and it's time that we hopefully, by God's mercy, can come into a time of rejoicing. So here is a presentment under the common law, a true bill by the people. And by the way, the people, we do, and I'm going to read this one footnote because this is the key of our standing. And you'll see it through this whole thing. It's not just here. It's everywhere. And we've already said these things in other places, in other ways, and to make other points, to build other framework and positions in our thinking and our papers and our points for whatever it is we're doing. But again, a true bill by the people, footnote number one, people. People are supreme, not the state. Warring versus the mayor. The state cannot diminish the rights of the people. However you say that word, versus California. The preamble to the United States and the New York Constitution, we the people do ordain and establish this Constitution. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country. But they are sovereigns without subjects, with none to govern but themselves. Christholm versus Georgia. The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. Lansing versus Smith. So I think right here, you know, Thornton teaches this as one of his principles, and we were so glad to hear this because, again, I know we mentioned this numerous times, we realize, you know, liberty can't be all this difficult. It can't be that we have to become, really get involved in really learning so much in order to be free. Of course, we do need to understand liberty. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, as Jefferson said, forget about it. But so we cannot be ignorant. But it cannot be that we have to jump through all these hoops to be free. Why do we even want to, you know, give any kind of credence to the fiction? We're not going to jump through their hoops. We're not going to have to say we've got to say some magic words. But we're going to hold our standing. We're going to make our points. And I think we started off with that. But let's read this. The constituted unified common law grand juries of the 50 United States of America. That's with a small U right there again, bringing our standing into play, including New York, Arizona, Connecticut, Colorado, Florida, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maine, Rhode Island, Washington, West Virginia, Alabama. Let me see if I got the new states on this. I know Alabama was one of the new states. Did I have Colorado in here?
Yeah, it's there.
I did have the Colorado? Okay,
yeah.
Well, if I didn't, I'll make sure it's in there. And numerous other American counties from the following states yet to be unified. So we actually listed all 50 states in here, and we gave them a hint. We're working on the other 30, whatever it is, 34. It's coming. They're on the way. Watch for it. We'll be here soon. And then we listed out all those states right down to Wyoming. Comes now, we the people of the United States of America, again, the small U, big S, and of course of America, to present this true bill against Glenn T. Sutterby in the Northern District of New York with the following information. Because the judge is holding New York executive offices, we kind of wrote this with a synopsis, so it kind of brings the whole case together in this one indictment. We wanted to do that in such a way so that when we send copies out to the sheriffs and we send copies out to the clerks, because we're going to do that, and let them know, hear the sounding of the horns a little bit, the blowing of the ram's horn, and as we circle the city, becoming exceedingly loud. Because the judges hold the New York executive offices who are responsible for guarding the unalienable rights or unalienable rights of the people, betrayed their oaths by knowingly involving themselves in a statewide conspiracy to rob and deny the people of their ordained constitutional Republican form of government in exchange for power and profit, violating U.S. codes, and we got about 12 of them now. Said judges and other conspirators did engage knowingly in misleading conduct, intimidating and persuading other persons to engage in misleading conduct with the intent to prevent the testimony of the New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury in an official proceeding by withholding and removing documents from an official proceeding, as is their manner, in violation of, and in a whole bunch of, maybe about another 10 or 12 U.S. codes that they violated, including and winding up with RICO. On September 26, and here's where we kind of just give a, you know, sort of a synopsis. On September 26, 2013, Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Prudente, acting under the color of law, exceeded her authority by starting a statewide campaign in a disgraceful open conspiracy to foil the efforts of the awakening people taking their proper seat in the courts as consenters of their servants in government. In Prudente's 9-26-13 memorandum, she instructed all counties and court clerks to violate the said codes, there's three of them, by rejecting or removing the filing of documents by the people attempting to take back control of their out-of-control judiciary. These Nazi-slash-Marxist tactics continued for more than 6 months. Now, you know, we puzzled over this Nazi and Marxist thing, and, you know, it's kind of worn out here or there. The right calls the left this, and the left calls the right that. And, you know, so it sort of played out. And then also, oh, don't call people Nazis. You know, it's not nice. But you know what? We decided a long time ago, we're just going to say the way it is. They are Nazis and they are Marxists. We're going to make no bones about that. The Nazis have taken over the right wing. And the Marxists have taken over the left wing, and that's a fact. And they pulled themselves together, and they call themselves, what's the word they call them? Progressives. They're progressives. Anyway, they use these Nazi and Marxist tactics, continuing for more than 6 months as the momentum of the people grew from one state to 50 in response to these shameful acts that threatened the very existence of the land of the free. On March 24, 2014, National Liberty Alliance, New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury purchased an index number, given a number in Columbia County, New York, in order to file true bills of presentment and informations. Said conspirators, in violation of 18 U.S. Code 2071, removed all the documents from the file. I should probably put from that file. I'm going to change that right now. From that file. And the point is the whole purpose of this court case is we're not asking them for anything. We've given them a writ of prohibition saying, you cannot do this, don't do it. And they did it anyway, and we indicted them. Another judge did it again. We indicted them. And any judge, we're going to indict them again. But the whole point of this whole thing is so we have a place to file our papers. That's why we opened an index number, not to get a court case going, but to file our papers. And then to force a judge to sign our papers. And that's where we're at. We're not asking for anything. And I'm going to tell you something that, I'll say it right now. If we have to end up at the United States Supreme Court, if we have to go to Washington, if that's where we end up, and our plan will bring us there in 3 to 4 weeks from now. That's why it's so vital for all the states to get out and get the job done. If we can go with 50 states or 40 states, I'd love to go with 50 states. I mean, that's going to be hugely powerful, hugely powerful. But bare minimum 26. Not as powerful as 50, though. But we're heading up to the United States Supreme Court. And I think at that point, hopefully, by God's will, the landslide of people will be coming through. We happen to know that we watched the Alexia ratings. We got tens of thousands of people that have been on our site. And it's constant, the flowing people in. We may only have about 3,000 members. A lot of people are afraid to sign up, but I think a lot of people are fence sitters, and they're sitting. And when the time comes, they'll slide on board, hopefully. But when we get up to I truly believe that the worst case to get up to the United States Supreme Court, this is Scalia's work. This is their work. These are their words. How can they go against it? We haven't used any words of our own. We just sew the words together. It's all their words. How are they going to go against us? How are they going to not hear us, especially with what we're going to do? And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But we get up there, and let's say the worst-case scenario, the very worst-case scenario, they all got guns to their head, and they can't do nothing. And they cower out, whatever, I don't know. But they don't do anything. That's the worst-case scenario. Well, what's our last move? We actually indict those 9 judges, the United States Supreme Court. We, the people, indict them. And let's see what happens with that. If that's where we have to get to, then that's where we'll get to. But hopefully we don't have to get to that. Maybe we'll accomplish this in the next 3 weeks by going through the federal court plan that we have. And if not, the United States Supreme Court, and if not that, the indictment of the entire judiciary of the United States, because America is over, it's gone. And the only hope we have, really, is that landslide of people hopefully flowing behind us to push this through, to make it happen, and demand justice to be returned back into our courts. So, anyway, let me get back to the reading this. So we purchased the index number Columbia County on April 10th, and they threw everything out. They emptied out the file. Violation of a whole bunch of codes. 20 years in jail for doing that. They emptied the files. On April 10, 2014, New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury purchased index number 140384 in Greene County, New York, in order to transfer the documents to a secured location under judicial auspices. Then the said conspirators, through Judge Raymond Elliott, ruled no standing and prevented the filing of any more documents in violation of 18 U.S. Code 2076. On May 9, 2014, New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury moved said files into the U.S. Northern District Court of New York under case 114CV552, an Article 3 court, in order to secure and protect the documents. On May 14, 2014, the New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury notified by postal mail, fax, every New York State Supreme Court of the conspiracy, each having a duty to act, but instead chose felony rescue of their peers in violation of 18 U.S. Code and a whole bunch of codes that we got here, thereby solidifying the complete collapse of the New York Supreme Court judiciary. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, did ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. Whereas Glenn T. Sutterby, by oath to the same, had a duty to perform and thereby was vested with the authority and a lawful duty to secure the people's constitutional republic, promised by the following. Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Article 4. Article 6, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made and pursuant thereof, and all the treaties made by which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. State judges as well as federal judges have a responsibility to respect and protect persons from violations of federal constitutional rights. Gross versus State in Illinois. Decency, serenity, and liberty alike demand that government officials be subject to the same rules of conduct that the commands to the citizen. In a government of laws, the existence of the government will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Crime is contagious. If government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for the law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself. And against that pernicious doctrine, this court should resolutely set its face. Homestead versus the United States. Instead, Glenn T. Sutterby was found in bad behavior. And by the way, good behavior is when they obey the law. Bad behavior is when they break the law. That's Black's Law. It was found in bad behavior and did obstruct justice and perform felony rescue in violation of a whole bunch of codes, and thereby enjoined the conspiracy to overthrow the people. We, the people, moved said documents on behalf of the American people in order to save the Republic to the United States District Court for the Northern District of New York, an Article III court, under seal, and thereby opened a court of record and became the tribunal of the Supreme Court of the land until a petite jury could receive the mantle to mete out justice. Instead of performing his sacred duty on May 23, 2014, Glenn T. Sutterby, under the color of law, seized the court by opening a chancery court, an inferior court, not of record, even after being informed by writ of prohibition, bill of information, and a writ of mandamus, clearly revealing the extraordinary nature of this court. Glenn T. Sutterby then rendered a ruling by applying rules from several jurisdictions foreign to this court without leave of court, and finding that the orderly decorum of the court was replaced by defective impromptu process and usurpation of legislative and court powers without leave of court. Therefore, on May 27, 2014, the tribunal impeached and rescinded the actions and statements made by Chancellor Glenn T. Sutterby by writ of error, quo quorum nobis. When Glenn T. Sutterby failed to respond within 8 days to the writ of error to correct his error after being warned that we the people will determine for him the consequences of his actions, he snubbed the tribunal and was thereby found by the Unified Common Law Jury in bad behavior, which resulted in the issue of this true bill. To view a complete copy of this case, it can be found at the United States District Court for the Northern District of New York, file number 114CV552. By what authority we the people act? We, posterity of the founders, hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights our governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Declaration of Independence. The following was quoted in 1992 case, United States versus Williams. Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branch of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, the fourth branch of government governed and administered to and directly by and behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. Now, we got another couple of paragraphs. I'm not going to read them all. I'll read the last paragraph. They all come from Williams' case. This is really just laying out the authority by which we act. And it settles up with the grand jury's functional independence from the judicial branch is evident both in the scope and its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in the manner in which that power is exercised. Unlike a court whose jurisdiction is predicated upon a specific case or controversy, the grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that the law is being violated, or even because it wants assurance that it is not. Then he gives a whole bunch of quotes, other cases. It need not identify the offenders, its suspect, or even the precise nature of the offenses it is investigating. The grand jury requires no authorization from its consenting court to initiate an investigation. Nor does the prosecutor require leave of court to seek a grand jury indictment. And in its day-to-day functioning, the grand jury generally operates without the interference of a presiding judge. It swears in its own witnesses and deliberates in total secrecy. See United States versus Sells. Sealed and delivered, and by the way, this idea or phrase of sealed and delivered found in Black's Law, these words follow road by the signature of the wellness constituted the usual formula for the attestation of conveyances. So when we put the seal on it, that's a seal of honor, it's a seal of truth, and it's a seal of the court. It's a seal of the Supreme Court of the land, a court of record by the people themselves. And then it says here, common law grand jury foreman, and a signature on it, and that's the end of it. It's a total of 5 pages labeled the true bill in the United States District Court for the Northern District of New York. So again, I'll get this up there today. And again, I think it is absolutely crystal clear. I think we breathe it constantly in all of our writing. What is our standing? Our standing is we the people. Our standing is the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution for the United States of America. We the people, the kings, we wrote a paper and we added it in here also, the King's Bench. We made it clear who we are in that entire in that memorandum. I think that was 10 or 12 pages, that memorandum. A tremendous amount of quotes and research went into that paper to lay out who the people are. We're the king. That's who we are. We wish and it becomes their command. They must obey, or they get the end of the axe. Okay. So we're ready for the we're going to post the indictment tonight and waiting on the seals, and we'll see how many comes in tomorrow. As soon as they come in, they're out. Now, we're also going to follow this up immediately, and we'll have this letter out, and we'll post it. I'll send out an email when we get it up there, and we'll probably read it. It's a short letter going out to the chief judge here in the Northern District of New York, and we're going to put the burden on him. And then I think if he fails to respond, we're going to give him 3 days. That's all he gets. So let's say that takes a week to do. 3 days, you know, you got to mail it and so on and so forth. So that's a week. We give it to that judge. If he doesn't do it, then I think we got to get back together to consider an indictment, and I got to believe we're going to give him an indictment. After that, there's 151 New York judges. We're going to send out letters to all 151. We'll send probably a copy of this indictment, and we'll put a 2 or 3 page letter together, and we'll send it out to everyone. We'll fax it, and we're going to mail it. And they will be given 3 days to do their duty. And if they don't, then what we have done, or shall I say what they have done, is that they have just indicted the entire federal judiciary here in New York. They have indicted themselves. Now, we're not going to go out and indict 151 judges. Or maybe we will. I don't know. I don't plan on doing that. But the bottom line, you know, we've got 300 judges in New York, and if we're going to indict this 151, then maybe we need to indict 300. But I don't think we should do that because we really don't want to kick them all out and destroy them. We want them to obey and respond, and they'll disappear one at a time as time goes on, as people bring charges up against them, and they have to face the consequences of their criminal activities, and they'll be worried. A lot of them will probably disappear, flee. Lord willing, we get into this kind of power. And it's up to you. It's up to the people whether we're going to get into this kind of power. This is what you have to make it happen by stepping up and showing the numbers, by getting these papers together and doing these unified seals, by going to Washington, if necessary, with 50 seals, 50 state seals. So it's going to take 3 days to get the letters out to the 151. We're going to have to give them 3 days. So you figure another week, another 7 days for the mail to go out to get to the 151, give them the 3 days, and then respond to the next step. Meanwhile, we'll be building the paperwork for the next step. So in 2 weeks, we should have the letters done with every judge in New York. The next step is to work very diligently with the state coordinators and those people working with Sheila to organize the states and getting the unified seals going. And they're also working out the postcard campaign we got going. I have to get an email out on that. I know Sheila's going to be talking about it. She's moving on that direction with the group of people that are working with her to push this along. We, the people from every geographical location of the United States, need to start sending these postcards. There's a postcard example up online under Jurist. It's under letter P for postcard. It's an alphabetical order list. Look for postcard. I think it's one of these postcard. And click on that. There's two examples, one if you're unified, one if you're not. And you can really write whatever you want. These are just two examples. You can write part of that and something else, or you can write whatever you want. But the key thing is to let them know we are watching them. We are here. We're in this county. We're in 3,142 counties. We're not just a couple of people down on a corner or in of the corner of the state here or something like that. No, no. We are the people of 3,142 counties, and we want our country back. So 14 days to do that, to get New York done. 7 more days. We're going to be planning during the next 14 days as if we're going to have to go to the next step. And if we don't have to go to the next step, well, praise God, then that means we get in through one of these federal judges. But if we have to go to the next step, then we're going to send a letter out to every single federal court in the United States, a judge in the United States, every single one of them. And that's going to take the cooperation of every state coordinator. Then we will lay it out. We'll get some special, we'll get an evening going. Maybe we'll call for a meeting after next Monday's meeting, maybe on a Wednesday or something, and we'll get together and we'll discuss the plan. We'll have write up the letter. We'll propose the letter. We'll get it out there. We'll show you how to find all the judges in your state. It's going to cost, I think it's 43 cents a letter to send it out. We'll keep it under the proper weight. Under an ounce. So maybe it'll be 5 pages, but we'll print on both sides, so we'll get 10 pages if we have to do that much, or 4 pages, 8 pages, one on each side. I think when you hit the extra number 6, that's when it goes beyond the ounce in the envelope, but we'll check that out and we'll calculate that. But 43 cents it is, and if you had to send it out to 200 judges in your state, which might be the number, you know, so that's 0.43 times 200. That's $86 to mail that out, plus the envelopes and the paper, and it'll be the same letter, but you'll change the names, and we'll show you how to. What I did is we got the list of all the judges in New York, 300 of them. We had someone collect it for us and put it into a label format. And then all we did was run the labels off, 2 copies, one for the letter and one for the envelope. So where it went to 2, we put a label there, the judge and his address, and on the same envelope, the judge and his address. and we put it inside the envelope, and we did whatever it was. I think it was 300, if I recall. Maybe I'm wrong. It was quite a few. And that was the state judges. Well, we're going to do the same thing with the 151 federal judges, and we're going to hope that we're going to get every state in the union working with us to do the same thing to every judge in their state. Now, just think of the stress we're going to be putting upon these people, the realization of the people coming, the realization that this is no small thing, that it is the people, that we are united, and it is through the united, through every state. It is in every county. Just realize the pressure upon these people. You see, this is how we're going to get our nation back. This is how we're going to get America back. It's the pressure of the people. Only the people can save America. So if we do this job and we get it done, I believe the pressure upon them is going to be so great. At some point, the media is going to have to burst out with this. They don't have a choice. And it doesn't matter if they come out to destroy us. They'll go out, people will go out, and a lot of people will get it. I think a lot of people already get it. They'll go out and see what's going on. Only the useful idiots won't, but they'll come along later anyway, you know. So we're not going to worry too much about them. We don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority that participate. We've all been dumbed down and made lazy and good slaves and obedient slaves and just real dumb, and we just don't want to figure things out. But we're waking up. And we are figuring things out. We are learning things, and we are responding, and we are doing, and we're building up one at a time, one at a time. And we're getting there. And for the useful idiots, they'll moan and complain for a while. They say, these terrible terrorists and so on and so forth. But they'll go right back to sleep. It's not going to amount to a hill of beans as long as we, the people, keep going and pushing towards the mark. So the end result is the United States Supreme Court. If that's what it takes, at that point the momentum will be so great there will be a judge in a nation that doesn't know that we're coming. Scalia will know, everyone will know with this kind of a campaign. There's no escaping it. Meanwhile, we are sending out to all of the sheriffs throughout the entire United States. We have the email of every sheriff. We've already started a letter campaign to them. It's been a while since we wrote anything. We're going to send a copy of this indictment to them, a little cover page, you know, something small, and then it's indictment. So we're going to educate them. We're going to do the same thing in New York with all of the clerks. There are 62 court clerks and there are 62 county clerks. We send it out to them, and every judge in New York will get it again. And they're going to see what we did to the federal courts. And when we go to the next 151, we're going to let them know what we've done there, too. And we go to the next one, and we get every judge in the federal courts throughout the United States. We'll again send it out to them, too. And so we'll get together to teach people in each state on how to get this list of email addresses and put it all together and get it out. As a matter of fact, what happens, I think we can handle the email part if that's how we go. The other way is the fax. We have someone that does all our faxing for us, and their fax sends out multiple faxes, but not a lot. But then yet, there's only 62 counties in our state, and you know whatever the counties are, that's how many faxes you have. And if you could do 8 or 10 at a time, so you got to do, in our case, six faxes. Okay, so that's not too bad. It could be done. It doesn't have to be mailed to those people. But this is how we're going to save America. This is going around. This is going around Jericho. This is blowing the trumpets as we go around Jericho every day for 7 days until we end with a shout, with a loud shout, with a loud voice, with a loud trump. Liberty, justice, honor, mercy, returning justice into the courts. That's what it's going to take to make the walls of Jericho fall. And as we read in our Second Chronicles tonight, chapter 20, you know, as the Lord said, this is his battle. Be not dismayed. This is my battle. I'll take care of business. You know, let me see how he said it. Came the Spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, in the midst of the congregation. And Jehovah said, hearken ye all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith Jehovah unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. So maybe he'll be merciful unto us again if we're, you know, bend our knee and try to do the right thing and do the best we can. You can't expect anything more, and I don't think the Lord does. Just do the best you can. Okay, I'll talk real quick about the charter that someone brought up a little earlier. And, you know, each state has a charter. Well, you know what? I don't think we should talk too much about it. We do have a plan, and those who understand what we do with the did with the Quo Vanto, that's a time bomb sitting there waiting for us to pull that trigger. It's got not even, the trigger's been pulled. We just got to pull the string. It's done. Okay? And we will show every state. If every state does the same thing, and that should be done this month, at the end of the month. If we go to Washington with this case, if that is the case, hopefully we'll have all 50 states done. And if all 50 states done, we'll talk about a Quo Vanto by all 50 states, and it's over. If anybody understands what I'm not going to get into detail. We're not going to talk any more about that at all. Anybody who understands that understands what I'm talking about, and the charter is irrelevant. It's just fiction anyway, and reality is the way one perceives it, and I perceive that as BS, and it's the law of the land that I'm concerned about. That's what the contract to the 50 states says, the United States Constitution for, you know, the Constitution for the United States of America. And the Bill of Rights protects our unalienable rights. It's the enforcement behind what's necessary when they violate our unalienable rights. We don't receive it from the Bill of Rights, but the Bill of Rights is there to protect it, and we the people will make that happen. So again, only the people can save America. If you believe and you're doing, we're going to do it. I believe that. If you're going to sit back, like some states have made that decision, hopefully those states have heard me talking tonight about this and realize the real plan here now, and realize that they have to participate in order to win. You can't sit on the sidelines. You can't wait for New York to do it, because it's not going to happen. If the other states decide not to do it, they win, we lose. Game over. Okay, with that, let's take our first caller. Let's see, 941-408. You got the mic.
Good evening, John.
How you doing?
Good. I just have 2 points I wanted to make. This is Mike from Sarasota, Florida. And the first one is, about 2 weeks ago, a number of us had an occasion to visit the sheriff in our county here and present him with a binder and some reference materials about the grand jury and everything. But one of the questions I asked before we left that meeting with him was if he was receiving the email memos, and he indicated he wasn't. And I wonder if anybody was checking on that, or if there's any way to...
Yeah, we get that from time to time. Either they're sleeping and not paying attention, they're deleting them, or whatever. But when they become conscious of that, all they need to do is go up on our website. We do have a place where the... it's under news. And if they just highlight news, you could tell your sheriff, well, if you haven't been getting the memos, you can go read them here. Go up to nationalliberty.org, highlight... Yeah. The news, and then click on memos to sheriff. And every memo we've ever sent out is up there. And I believe the dates, yeah, they are, they're dated. So the dates they went out, they're dated on the memos. But we've sent out 5 memos. It's numbered 1, 2, 3, 3, 4. It should have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but I'll fix that.
Right.
And the next one that goes out, we'll get there also. And when I go back up here, I'll fix this and make dates out of it. And we haven't sent one in a while. We've just been so busy and swamped, and we just haven't sent one out. But it's time. It's due. I got to get one out this week, I think. And it'll be a copy of that indictment, because it gives a good synopsis and a good picture of who we are, what we're doing, and what the people expect to happen. And remember, look at... If we can talk to our sheriffs and get them educated, that's what we're trying to do. At least prep them. We're going to require, I'm going to require of my sheriff in my county, and I know the people that are in my county with me are going to agree, I think everyone agrees. These sheriffs have to bone up. And you know what? go to National Liberty Alliance, take the course, put your name in there. We'll set something up for servants. We'll call it servants, okay? If you're a sheriff or any kind of an elected official, click this button, join as a servant. And you can, they'll see everything we're doing. They can participate any way they want. But then they'll be able to take the course. They'll be able to click on the civics course. It's 120 hours, 600 questions. We're not completed yet. Apologize, it's just a lot more than we realize, but we're working on it. But they take that course, and if they don't take that course, don't even think about running, because we're going to do everything to spoil your run for the campaign for sheriff, because you're not qualified. And you know what? I think you might even be indicted by the grand jury, because at this point, there's no excuse. If you get up there and you raise your hand and you say, I swear to uphold and protect and so on and so forth, and you don't even know what it is, then you lied, okay? And that's fraud, and that's indictable. So whatever it takes, we can hold that to every single elected official. We can require them. You know, if they don't take this course, that's fine. They can take another one, but they got to prove they've taken it somehow. At least they come here to prove we've taken it. And it also has to be a course that's real, not phony, fictional BS stuff. You know, we want a course that's real. We're putting together a course that's real. A course that really gives the history of who we are, where we came from, and what the heck is really going on around here. And of course, you know, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which was part of the Constitution.
Right.
So anyway.
I just want to bring that up, but encourage the other organizers to check with their sheriffs to see if they're getting or have gotten the memos. And if not, they could print them out, mail them to them, or email them to them themselves. But
They can go right up to the website and click on them themselves. They don't have to join to see this stuff. There's only a few pages that people don't see unless they join. And this they see, everyone sees. So
one of the things some of us have done here also is made copies of the initial memos.
Uh-huh.
And here in Florida, we have a brochure for the common law grand jury movement. And
there you
I've
go.
Folded one of these memos, put it in the brochure, and when I see a deputy, I give it to him, and on the top of the memo I wrote, have you seen this or have you heard of this? And see if it's filtering down through the ranks as well.
Right. That's a good idea. So everybody hopefully is hearing this and is going to respond. We'll try to push a campaign like that. You know, again, you know, people need to step up and take control. You know, when we started working here to do the campaign across America to really push these, you know, every state to become constituted, you know, I didn't do that, and I didn't set that motion in flow. We had a couple of people, you know, that just stepped up to the job, stepped up to the plate, took the bull by the horns and did it. And they called me from time to time to get some a little information. They had some questions or whatever, and they're taking care of business. Maybe you or someone else can kind of start a campaign and get a group of people together and start calling all the state coordinators and get this campaign for sheriffs going. And anybody else that could think of anything else, let's just do it. Hey, no one elected me to do anything. You know, I just saw the void that needed filling, and I realized certain things, and nobody else was doing anything about it. So I said, well, I guess I got to do it. I have no choice. I can't not do it. It would be a disgrace and a dishonor myself. So I had to do it.
Right.
I just stepped up and did it. And again, you know, I'm very careful not to be a dictator. I'm very careful not to tell people what to do. You know, we're very very specific on process and procedure and law, because you can't make that stuff up. It is what it is, and we have to obey that, and that's why, and that's the process we're working with. And we could do different things with that, but we still have to go through that process, through that procedure, through the way it works. And so everybody has to learn that. So we're very dogmatic on the process and procedure. Sometimes we get someone that wants to take a shortcut. They want to do this, or they're moving another. And that's fine. They can do that, but we're not going to do it. No, we're going to do it the right way, because this job has got to get done. A lot of people have tried to do what we're doing on a smaller scale. I know one person I heard trying to do it on a national scale, and they failed. And I believe they failed because they didn't do their homework. I truly believe that was the only reason they failed. And I don't know what the leadership was like. Maybe the leadership was a problem, too. I just don't know. So I can't comment one way or another. You know, pride and ego can get in the way very quickly with someone that finds themselves in a position where people are listening to them, and we always got to keep ourselves in check on that, because we're all men, and we you know, the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who can know it? We got to constantly pray to the Lord to keep us in check. So so we got to watch out for pride and ego, and we've seen that in different places where some people in NLA, in different states, you know, it got a little egotistical and out of control. And thankfully, I think it's pretty much under control everywhere, and we're very careful, and we have been infiltrated, I believe, but it was not successful, and we're able to weed them out. It was on just a very few, and I'm sure they're still amongst us. As soon as they expose themselves, it's obvious, and we'll deal with them.
Another point I wanted to make tonight, too, John, was that, you know, I know the spotlight is kind of focused on New York with the federal district court and everything, but here in Florida, we are also keeping the pressure on, and we have a strategy and a plan that we're implementing to keep that pressure on and gain access into our courtrooms here. And I want to encourage the rest of the organizers and the state coordinators to get together to work out a strategy and a plan for their own area, their own state, or their own counties at least, and start with one county find the weakest one, and work something out and run the plan past several well-informed members or people. You know, and there's great safety in many counselors, and start implementing a plan in your own area, your own state.
Right, and it's the people who get in the way are the people that you have to deal with. In your case, it was the commissioners, so you're dealing with them. In our case, it was the judges. And it could be the same in another state, or it could be some other group. But whoever it is, there's only going to be one group that's going to try to foil your plan. And once they fail, the other groups will not get in the way as long as you're successful. So, but yeah, the pressure should be on. The pressure should go forward. But one of the key things is, and I know down there in Florida you have some people that have knowledge. We have people in various other states that have the knowledge to be able to write papers and to be able to keep their standing and do things in a certain way and focused. And so you do need someone that's able to keep on that point. I think these people will rise up as they have been from amongst us, as they have down in Florida. They have here in New York and in California and a few other places, you know, in Michigan. There's some people who really understand how this thing works and how the courts work, and they're capable. And that's the key. You know, you look for those people, and they'll rise from amongst us.
Amen. Final thought I just want to give, and then I'll release the Q&A. But I noticed that we've got 738 constituted counties, and I see I can't tell exactly how many people are on the line tonight, but I'm sure it's not 738.
No, it's 170 that's on the call right now. That fluctuates, and as time goes on, some people don't stay for the whole thing, and some people come in late.
Yeah.
We've been averaging, if I recall, let me think, the last 500 and some odd people, I think, 560, 550. We've been kind of around that number that come on to the live call. And then there are other people that, you know, listen to the recording. So I think if you look at, we're about 3,000 people that are signed up. And I would say we probably have 1,200 to 1,500 people that kind of keep on the call. So we're close to a third or a half of the people that are signed up. But that means we have to wake the other people up. And that's the state coordinator's job. Look, now is the time to get active. This is it. This is the last summer, in my opinion, of America. We have to do our job this year. And so, you know, we got the campaigns going. We got the momentum going. We got the states moving. We got the people getting the seals. We're doing the letters. The things are happening. People are talking. We're coming to meetings. Let's get moving the people who aren't moving. Let's get more people here, but let's get the people that are in already, get them moving, and also get more people in at the same time. And like I said, there's going to be a point in time when we get the landslide. When the landslide comes, that's when the people are going to pour in. There are so many people I have come to realize, that are on the sideline. They're fence sitters, and they have not come in yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame, because they're kind of looking at us, and they go away for a couple of weeks or a month, and they come back and they look at us again. They see what's going on, and they don't have the faith that it's going to work, or some other guy has started this, and, you know, we're going to sit and see what you're going to do. And well, that's not the way we're going to win this thing. We have to get off the fence and do it. But those people will come in eventually, and so let them build up. They're the reinforcements.
Yeah, well, I'm just as guilty as most anybody, but I believe you're correct when you know, maybe the state organizers or the county organizers, we really need to call people instead of email them to remind them of the conference call. Call them and encourage them to get on here and listen.
Absolutely. That is the key thing. You know, I try to be an example of this. You know, there are times people say, hey, I tried to call you for a long time and you don't ever answer your phone. Some people say, hey, I call him all the time. He always gets the phone. It's a matter of, I don't know, luck maybe, I don't know. But I do try to answer the phone as much as possible. Now it gets very difficult because I get a tremendous amount of calls every day, and I just have to ignore them for quite a few hours, and then I start picking the phones up. But every day I try to spend time just picking up them phones, and I don't have to make calls anymore. People call me. The point is I spend time with people. And I may spend a long time with one person on whatever the issue may be. And I'm trying to do that as an example. If I'm doing it, that's what you need to do, because that's the only way to activate people, is to talk, to communicate, to have a relationship. It's that human factor. It's the voice coming into the ear. Forget the email. That's never going to work. If you think you're going to build this thing on the email, forget about it. It's not going to happen. It works only with going through the telephone lines or personally meeting. And you'll use the telephone. You know, use Skype. We use Skype all day long. I mean, my phone number is a Skype phone number. That's why I can take 10 calls at a time or whatever. I mean, people call me and they come into a conference call because I have to deal with calls that way. I get so many. There's no way I can return the calls. It's just not even possible.
Yeah.
So I just do Skype calls, and I'll get a call in and another call and 3 calls, 5 calls, 6 calls, 8 calls, 10 calls. You know, whatever it is, and it'll be all on the same phone, and we'll just move back and forth, and people gleam off the other people's situations that they're talking about. So, you know, but that's how we got to do it. You hit the nail on the head there. If we're not on the phones, we're not building the process. If we think we're sending emails out and people are responding, I can assure you they are not.
Yeah, that's all I have, John. I thank you, and have a great evening.
Thank you. All right, next caller here, 505, wireless caller. 328, 505.
Hey, John, Ray Powell here in New Mexico.
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
Great. Hey, I've been trying to find out how to email from the website. I found a way to create a message on the message board, so I put some information up there. I found out how to download the Jurist CSV file, which I did, and use those email addresses to email everybody. So is that everything?
If you go to states and highlight states, just highlight it, and down on the bottom you'll see instructions. If you're a state coordinator, you'll see them, and that'll tell you how to send an email through the website to everybody in your state.
Oh yeah, I did that, of course.
Oh,
but,
okay.
The link is not there that it talks about. So
what's not there?
The link that it says is there. It says you select your state, you click your state, then you click groups.
Right.
There is no link for groups.
Well, then double check with me when you get a chance. Send me an email. No, I'm sure you're in. You're on the state list. You're listed as a state coordinator, right?
Yeah, I see the instructions link that only appears when I log in.
Okay, click on your state right now. Do you see, is Jurist tab in? Do you see the Jurist tab? That means you're signed on, or it says log in or log out. If it says log out, you're logged in already. Okay, click on your state, and then you'll see right under your state, in my case it's New York, and you'll see to the left, view, edit, and groups. It's right above the state, total state members, total counties, total constituted, and then download all jurists. Well, above that, you'll see 3 tabs, view, edit, group. Do you see that?
No, I sure don't. Maybe I need to try another browser.
What are you using? Using Firefox or Microsoft?
Chrome.
Chrome. Yeah, Chrome works on this. And you do see the jurist.
Yes. It says county.
Let me just take the moment here. What state are you in again? New Mexico?
Yes, sir.
Okay, NM. Let me go there. Okay, and what county are you in?
I'm in Torrance, but I'm the state coordinator.
Okay, so you're Ray. Let me just click this, and I'll double-check this. Let me see. Make sure you're in on both sides here. State coordinator there. Okay. Okay, now, groups. Okay. Yeah, I don't have you marked off there. Let me update your membership. Okay, now go back to your state and see if you see it.
Okay. Maybe I have to log out and log back in?
No, just refresh the page.
Yep, I did. Nothing changed.
Okay, up on the top right, you'll see tech support. Click on that. Tell them your problem. Tell them your state coordinator, blah, 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 blah. And tell them you can't find the view edit group button. Please help. They may take 24 hours to get to you, but they'll deal with you. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks, anything else?
That's it. If anybody from New Mexico happens to be on this call, check the message boards under the state because we're organizing a meeting and we need to know your availability, and there's a link that you can tell us that. So.
Right, and you guys are coming along. I know you'll be coming along. You got 33 counties to do. How is things going with that? Are you preparing? Are you talking with Sheila and others?
We're just getting the word out. We're going to have a meeting in Albuquerque and finalize the details to get up to Santa Fe and hold our vote and constitute the state.
Remember, activity makes more activity, and it draws more people. So that's what it's all about. Get that going, and you'll start to grow.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Thanks for all your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the next caller, 540-845, Home Rejuvenator.
Hi, this is Anna from Virginia.
How you doing, Anna?
Very well, thank you. Well, I have put a newsletter out today announcing what we did in Virginia regarding constituting the common law grand juries is to divided it into three regions, and then we are holding three different meetings. We really need five, but until I get some response from the newsletter, well, my newsletter is actually a national mailing list that I've been putting together for several years. And so it'll be hitting people outside of Virginia. So I'm thinking that we'll be getting that. That'll give us a little attention here in Virginia. I'm a frequent visitor of the state legislature, and I have mailing lists for all the legislators and for the sheriffs. I have a mailing list for the sheriff. And so, what do you think about my contacting, using the same newsletter and going ahead and sending it to the sheriffs and the state legislators?
Well, the sheriffs are definitely a good idea. The state legislators, yeah, you could try that. Why not? See what happens.
They're public too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look at it.
Right?
Yeah, we've got to tell everybody, but, why not?
Okay. Well, it just so happened
that don't get
that
lost in the political realms, though. You got to be careful. We don't want to take this to the political people and start trying to get them involved because they'll politicize what we're doing. We have to be careful with that. But these people are elected officials. That's a whole different story. Directly to them, yeah, fine.
Well, I only mention that because they do know who I am. And I have spoken several times to, committee meetings and over the last few years on different issues and things like that. So the fact that I put it out there. Well, it turns out that the mailing list, I inadvertently sent it to a mailing list that I realized, oh, that has some sheriffs and some state legislators on it. But so I'm glad that you thought that was a good idea because, it's a public announcement.
I
and we haven't hit the newspapers yet, but...
I just tell people, be careful going after political groups, though, because they're not primed for what we're doing. The Liberty groups are primed, you know, the veterans,
kinds
of different groups, any kind of Liberty group. And, of course, if they're an elected official, it's a different perspective for them to see what we're doing. And some of them may pick up the torch with us and realize that, hey, you know, they have the same interests we do in saving the nation. Not that there's many of them out there. Unfortunately, there isn't.
I'm sure that common law grand jury isn't something that you hear every day. So the newsletter, really, what is a common law grand jury is the tagline. And so I'm with the newsletter, it has your video on your main page, what is a grand jury. And so they see that. They're going to see some quotes. So look out for it. I sent it to you as well. I'm thinking I'll just keep perfecting it. I wish I'd mentioned about the Monday night call on it. Just because I've also contacted all my Virginia jurists or the Virginia jurists that are listed on the website.
Right. You know, and one of the best tools that we're working on now is that jurist book, because it's just packed with common law stuff, and people will recognize it immediately. They'll see United States Supreme Court. They'll see the Constitution. They'll see Jefferson, the Bill of Rights. They're going to see the real law, and they're going to wonder, you know, how come I never really heard about this stuff before, you know?
Right.
So that's what law really is, you know? And so these, you know, when you go talk to the sheriff, to have a jurist book is one of key things you need to do with it. This is the tool. So anybody who hasn't ordered jurist books, order them. They're coming now. We're going through the process. We're trying to get the order going. So as soon as we proof, you know, I think he's mailing me an original. You know, they're going to print out probably a dozen or something and mail them to me. And so I'm watching the mail, and I'm watching also the email in case they send it through the email. But I think they got to do a hard copy to show how it lays out.
Alex Jones has a citizen's rule book all about, it's called Jury Handbook, Bill of Rights Jury Handbook. And I don't know, if you haven't seen this, I'd love to get your, have you heard of that?
No. Well, I've heard about, I've seen jurist handbooks. I've seen citizen book handbooks.
Citizen's rule book. I think this is the same one. A lot of people have sold it. So because your jury handbook, you know, wasn't quite, you know, sure when that was going to arrive, I went ahead and ordered TVs. But I mean, it's good. I mean, I've read through it, and it really runs right alongside, unbelievably, jurist handbook. So
people should also buy the if they don't have them, they sell them by the hundreds. Also, the pocket constitutions. We should put the address. I'm going to put the address up there where people can click on a site and go and order from them the pocket constitutions, because you should have a pocket constitution, and you should
have
website? Which has, well, I'm going to put a link up there on over where we put on the services right under jurist handbooks. Maybe I'll put a link for order pocket constitution handbooks, you know, handbook constitution, however you say that. Anyway, I'll put a link and people can go right to their site and just order it from them.
Well, I know a lot of folk with Patriot kind of websites who make money from those little constitutions, because you can get them, so you should be able to make some money,
We don't have to make money with everything, you know, whatever we can. Look, we got the phones up there. Everybody needs a phone. We have the best Follow Me phone service going, got fax and everything. So, and when you buy it through us, we do get a little percentage, okay? We never got back to the T-shirts. We've got to get T-shirts up there. We have business cards and the jurist handbooks, and, of course, we make a few cents on that. And this is what keeps National Liberty Alliance going, that. And right now it's mostly donations, because believe me, we don't collect much on any of the other stuff yet. So it's donations. So, and anybody who hasn't donated, they can give $5 a month or $20 a month, whatever you can afford. Believe me, we need the assistance. We need the help. And definitely order the handbooks. That's a key tool. And you should order the constitutional handbooks. Have them with you, too. We're getting our booklets from the same people. We talk with those people to find out and, you know, where to order them at such a good price. I mean, they print them off by the millions, so they get a much better deal than we do. We're printing them off. Our first order is 50,000. So, you know, when we get to the million, we'll be able to reduce our price, too.
You know? John, I got my first harassment call, and I thought it was like a good sign. I think when you get out there, yeah. now this gentleman said he was part of the National Alliance in the beginning, but then you could tell he was, you're going to get sued, and I'm telling you, you're going to get sued, and you're going to get yourself in all trouble. And I wanted to just point out that they have certain conversation tactics. These whoever they are, they pretend to be somebody, but they're just there to rile you up. And what you find is that they don't let you talk for one thing. They cut you off, and they don't let you talk. Then they accuse you of not listening to them. So there's some certain conversation strategies you can pick these people out. And the other thing is just like if he's concerned. Is he concerned about you? And if he's not concerned about you personally, why is he bringing this information? What is the information? Where's the motive from? That's what I asked him. Why are you, you're protecting my personal interests? Why do you care what I believe or what I don't believe? I'm not doing anything illegal. Oh, you're going to get sued on it anyway. So I just wanted to point that out to just be aware of that. And don't be easily intimidated in a conversation either.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. So. All right. Everybody, I get people from time to time, saying those things. And look, if they could have stopped us, they would have stopped us by now. New York judges, the judiciary here in New York hate our guts. There's nothing more than they would like to see for us to be stopped somehow by maybe having us arrested or something. And they've already tried it. The problem is that we're perfectly within the guidelines of the law. We're not doing any, and they can't even argue our case because reveals the truth about them.
They don't know anything.
Well,
right.
It also reveals the truth about them because what are they going to do? They're going to argue with Washington. They're going to argue with Jefferson. They're going to argue with Scalia. You're going to argue with the Bill of Rights. What are you going to argue? They can't argue. They can't. They wrote two letters, and that's it. They never did a thing again, and they hate our guts, and they called the FBI and everyone else, and there's nothing they could do, and they know that by writing us more letters, it just sticks their foot in their mouth, because how do you argue against our founding fathers?
And also, we're teaching. The whole brunt of the whole movement is teaching others.
Right.
So how can I be doing anything illegal by teaching the fundamental principles of free government? How could I be associated with any movement of people who are doing the same thing? This is an educational.
Nazis and the Marxists will call you terrorists because you're terrorizing them with all this truth. They can't have this,
I know, they don't want to be offended.
Right.
It's too offensive.
There you go. But I think it's backfiring on them. I really do think that that's what's happening now. It's backfiring on them.
Yeah. It's because of knowledge. I mean, when you really know your thing and you're not coming out in emotional, fearful and angry or defensive, when you're just like waiting for some reason and knowledge to enter into conversation, those who don't use reason and knowledge are completely intimidated in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they try to intimidate you. But if you can stay calm and also, so that's why we all have to be so knowledgeable. That's our power, really. It's not numbers. It's not going to be arms either. It's going to be knowledge. And every one of us, imagine a 10-year-old should be knowing this stuff, and it's easily known. Imagine how scared they're going to be of children when they begin to learn the fundamental principles.
Exactly. Right. When they come up right from childhood, it'll be much more powerful in them. So,
and
it's kind of like the fear of God, because you're not really afraid of the child. There's like the fear of God, Anyway, so I feel things changing. It's just happening. It's just the right timing too. I'll get off, and thank you very much for what you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, Gerard, did you want to talk?
I was just going to say, a lot of the times they won't, if you want them to go on the record or give you their name or a number to call them back, then they'll falter and they won't want to do it. They won't go on record and they won't give you a number to call back. So they're just,
to call three people to get a judge's name today. I mean, judge's fax number. A fax number! She kept coming back and forth. Well, what's your name? Okay. What do you want it for? Who are you again? Why do you want it? And then, you know, even after I told her why I wanted it for, oh, well, we don't take things. I said, well, let the judge decide. If he wants to throw in the garbage, that's his business. You know, he'll do the wrong thing or the right thing. But just give me the fax number because, you know, you work for us. You're the servant. And I told her she was obstructing justice, and, you know, she told me to go to hell and hung up. One of our servants, you know, in the courts. Lovely people. It's down in New York City, by the way, in Brooklyn.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, next call, I guess. Let's see. Next caller is 530 Wireless Caller. 598.
Hey there.
Hey.
How you doing? This is Kelly.
Hey,
Mordecai. We've had some conversations, Matthew Faulkner, yourself, and I, on Facebook, and I am stunned by Matthew's studies, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I just kind of want to give you some news, upcoming stuff. The Libertarian Party is having a national convention in Columbus, and that's towards the end of the month. And they're going to try to get a resolution passed, or maybe even a platform plank. We did this in three states. You know, the Republicans and Democrats do not like this, obviously, but and it's such a large parties, the R's and D's, we really can't do much with this. But in three state libertarian conventions, we had a one-sentence resolution passed supporting the grand jury. We had that unanimous in California, unanimous in Florida and Michigan, and now we're going to try to go national with the party. And that's some pretty exciting stuff. So we won't know till the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
then,
those people should be a lot more educated, you know, becoming a libertarian. You know, make known to them what we're doing, and they should become jurists. I mean, we're not going to join a political movement or anything. We can't do that because we have to stay as pure as possible. But I am politically involved. I am involved in a lot of things, but I don't bring that to here. But I do bring them to here, you know. And so anybody that's liberty-minded is, in this particular case, I say stay away from the politically minded people, but I think with the Libertarian Party, I think you might have a different animal here, so to speak.
And well, they think, and they love the Constitution.
Yeah, they're more apt to jump into and see what we're doing very quickly and jump in. So, you know, that's, you know, bring our message to them. See once how it goes. Front page.
Yeah. Well, I want to throw out a couple things, what I've done in my county. In California, we have civil grand juries. And the petition goes directly to them, not like in the federal or in other systems where petitions are blocked, violating the First Amendment right of petition. But we have civils, and I submitted two, and the good news is I haven't heard anything back.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't going to do anything about it, they would have just said, no, we're not going to do this, because I've submitted petitions before. And
there's a doorkeeper there probably. You know, I doubt that. Whenever there's a grand jury anywhere that really, you know, people come up and trying to move the grand jury in the right direction, and people don't know how to do it or what to do it. Look, in the very beginning, we were naive when we first started. We started to think, well, we got to get 25 people per county, and that we would be the grand jury. And we realized, no, we can't be, because that's a wrongdoing, too. You can't sit as a grand jury forever. You come on, you work for a week, a month maybe at the most, and you're gone. And very rarely would you work a month. It's pretty much a week. And you might work 3 or 4 days and then have to come back 3 weeks later for 3 or 4 days in order to deal with a particular cases. But, you know, it always has to be refreshed. It is the people who are the grand jury. So you've got to keep refreshing that pool, turning it around, getting new people. And meanwhile, we have that opportunity as the administrators not only to be the investigative body or the arm of the grand jury, We also have the opportunity of being the ones to try to convince them, like a prosecutor would, to indict. And it's up to them to indict, but we try to convince them. And we also have the opportunity to teach them, to train them in the real law, and talk to them about the principles of liberty, the principles of the jury, you know, that we have to focus in on, and the two great maxims, which is for every injury there must be a remedy, and in order for there to be a crime, there's got to be an injured party. No injured party, no crime, and the state can't be that injured party. And those are the two major maxims. We operate in a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy, and those are the principles we operate by. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. With those five things, you are now pretty well armed to really sit down and consider something. But we need to spend 8 hours with them really to talk about different things that always brings back those 5 points, and so that when they really get in, they really are thinking about doing the honorable thing. They really are thinking about trying to mete out justice. And they really are considering mercy in the case. And they really are trying to repair the injured party and all these things that are important. You know, it doesn't get any more difficult than that. Anyone can do this. But, of course, we have to educate ourselves to understand how the system works, and especially the administrators. We really have to understand things. That's why we created that course. But everyone should go through this course, whether you become an administrator or not. You get your children. I'm going to have my children as soon as we get this going. My children are signing up. They're going to take this course and understand these things. And everybody else should be thinking the same way. Get your kids out here. Get them out here an hour a day or a couple hours a week or whatever it is you got to work out. If you're homeschooling, this could become part of the curriculum for your children. It has to be. It's civics. It's an important part of being an American and being a people, you know?
Well,
it's
I want to throw something out to you, you know. You get your common law grand juries, you know, and I sure hope they work. But one of the petitions I submitted to the civil is, hey, how about a town hall meeting? Open mic, public shows up, and frustrations you're having with, you know, whatever department of government, just let us know. I mean, that would be an awesome thing if the civil here does. And I'm telling you how it works in California. They meet for a year, they write an annual report, and they kind of get deceived, if you will, by county council, which county council does what? Work for the county who they're supposed to investigate. We have a broken system here, obviously, but
well, we
if
have
the
it
common
everywhere.
Law system works, like you're saying, it would be great to have like an annual town hall meeting.
You bet. Wait till there's a town hall meeting in your county. I know what I'm going to do in my county. I'm going to go down there and sit down, and I'm going to look for respect. I'm going to expect that these people sitting up there in this town hall meeting are respecting the people in this hall. And I'll keep my mouth shut for as long as I can there, but then I will reveal what I'm doing there, what's going on, and I'm going to expect. But we have to do it humbly. We can't do it on a witch hunt. We have to give them a way out. You know, when you correct someone, you got to do it politely and nicely. If you can do it on the side, it's better than doing it in public. But sometimes it may have to be done in public. But you got to give them a way out. You know, you got to kind of give them, talk to them in a way that they can save their face and come out of it. But the bottom line is you're going to demand that they be respectful to the people, that they actually listen. That they don't, put their prune faces on and arch their backs and start to get angry and shut people down, because those days are over with when we the people get in charge. And we're going to expect
I got a question for you.
Yeah,
I got a question for you. The Magna Carta, the barons elected the 25 baron group or grand jury. Mm-hmm. And there was a case on Larry Klayman in Ocala, Florida. He tried this. He's an attorney. He got shut down. The judge said that it has to be convened by a judge. There was a case in the Midwest somewhere
where the judge shut it down.
Well, Klayman, yeah, he had a ruling against him.
When did that happen?
Well, I can send you the link on Facebook.
Yeah, when did that happen?
When?
Yeah.
I think it was 2009.
Well, Klayman's still working. Klayman's still out there doing things.
I know
I think he's doing it the wrong way, but he's got the right idea. I think he's made some errors, but still I think he's got the right idea, and I think he's really trying to do a good job from the best he could do.
Right. Well, from his and another case, the judges are saying my question is, where did they get this? Okay. The judges are saying it has to be convened by a judge. So
yeah, where does
we went
it say
from
that?
Magna Carta.
Where does that say that in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights? Scalia
well,
doesn't
why,
agree with that.
That's why
that's
I'm asking,
sure.
where did this happen? What was the history? Because I'm a big history buff.
Oh,
I know
great.
Magna Carta.
Yeah, you want to know exactly where the grand jury came from, where the jury in itself and how it came together, and you trace it all the way back to Germanic tribes. We have a essay by Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury. He wrote this essay back in 1852. And it's about, we have it on audio right on our website, so it's about 15 hours of audio, and we have the entire essay in writing. And believe me, when you listen to this essay and you go through it, you will get a history lesson like you've never gotten before of how the jury and how the king and how things really worked. Now, there's another side of this that you can get from a guy named Winters. For some reason, I can't think of his first name. But his name is Winters, and it's a book called Common Law, Brent, B-R-E-N-T, Brent Winters, Common Law. We do have this book on our website, maybe on one of the document pages where there's a link and you can go buy it, you know, not through us. You're buying it on Amazon or someplace, but it's a cheap price, $9.95. It's a great book. Definitely anybody interested in the history of how common law came to be and how things worked, this guy traces it back very well. He looks at it from the perspective of the king and does all of his research, whereas Lysander Spooner went back and looked at it from the perspective of the jury. And between the two, you get a really good whole picture of the history of the jury. So that's one place to go for sure to understand it.
Spooner, okay, well, cool. Well, let's exchange information through Facebook and then yeah, I'm just wondering where the judges got this, that they're ruling presently that they have to be, the grand jury has to convene by a judge.
Oh,
where
that's
they get
very
that?
That's simple. Oh, they get that from the bar. You got to understand that the bar is a communist organization, okay? Their purpose is to destroy nations. They clearly want to destroy America. They train these people that the common law has been abrogated. They literally talk about the judges and lawyers believe that. Oh, that common law stuff. They think a court of record is a court that keeps a record. They think that today's common law, the only common law, is the common Supreme Court rulings. But the Supreme Court rulings, from their perspective, they are taught in bar school. They're taught that the law trumps the code, the law trumps the Supreme Court rulings. They're taught that the federal Bill of Rights doesn't apply. It's corrected by the state constitutions, where the Supremacy Clause of Article 6 of the United States Constitution disagrees 100%. That's the original contract. Everything must conform to the original contract. They talk about the grand juries of the federal system is different from that of the state. They say a whole bunch of BS and lies and stuff, and these people are true believers. They're liars. And so now you have all these judges and all of these other criminals, lawyers, that run a system. And the last thing they want is you in a courtroom. Really, back deep down behind them, they don't want you, you know, deep down in them, they don't want you there because they don't want you to see their criminal activities. See, they can't do business as usual if you're there. You have to be a lawyer, well-trained, and a useful idiot with the right education. And in order to framework all this stuff, you know.
How many, hey John, how many attorney jokes are there?
Oh, who knows?
There's only
what's
one.
The,
rest
answer
of them,
to that? Only
the
one?
Rest of them are all true.
oh, there you go.
Well, FDR, you know, and he was appointing judges to the Supreme Court justices, and he wanted to add a lot more. That's why they added the amendment that basically two terms for president. But his justices took. They didn't go on case law when they got rid of freedom of religion. They just went their own direction. They ignored previous case law, and that is one of the problems with the judges, that they can do kind of whatever the heck they feel like.
Right, because they're a chancery court. They're taught that, they are taught some things that and they don't want you to know about it. This is a priestly thing. You know, this problem was back in the Founders' Day. Jefferson talked about it, and he said they got this priestly thing going on, and you have to be an insider, and he says that they shouldn't be doing these things, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And, let's exchange some information on Facebook then. And Spooner, if you got a reference to that, I'll, you know,
oh,
I think
just
go
up
website.
To National,
yeah.
Go up to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on essays, we'll highlight essays and lectures, and it's right there. Trial by jury essay.
All right. Well, I'll let you know what happens at the national convention.
Okay.
See if we get a support of this.
All right. Have you read through our website yet completely? Have you gone through the front page, watched the video?
Completely, John, really? I mean, there's a lot of information on there.
In a general way, you're not going to go – it's going to take years to go through it completely.
By reading the pages
on every tab, it'll make you real familiar. As a matter of fact, I've been wanting to do this. I just haven't had time. I'm going to create a site map. And that'll make things a lot easier for people to find things.
Well, cool. Yeah, I've kind of thumbed through a little bit. I've had a lucky spring and had a lot of work. And I shouldn't even be on this call tonight, but I thought I'd tell you the good news about Libertarian Party. So.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call. Okay, we'll take our next caller. 208 is our next caller. You got the mic. 570. 208-570. I heard some noise there for a second. Hello? If you think it might be you, say hello. Hello? 208-570. Okay, I'll have to go to the next
call. That's called snoring that you heard.
Sleep? Is that what it is? They're sleeping? I guess I caused that, huh? Okay, let's go to the next caller who's anonymous.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
John, this is Irina and John.
How you doing?
You know, every time in between, we're going through hell. So we went to the federal court. When we participate with them completely, we sue them for our civil rights violation for compensation only related to the false arrest, right? Not mentioning that all that racketeering of our property, to the point that it was not even understandable why false arrest happened in the first place and how it happened. And guess what? You can't participate with criminals and terrorists, and they're truly criminals and terrorists, because they dismissing our case. That participation was not good enough, you know? So we fought them. Our attorney discharged himself, and he did tremendous harm to us and everything. They're all connected. But the major thing I wanted to tell you about our case, and we're going still, you know, we're creating the affidavit, but in different angles. I was calling to, you know, it hit us when we were completely innocent. We didn't understand what was happening to us. And one thing was not understandable at all times. How happened that this particular criminal is getting support from Department of Building, which approved him to build in our property, which inspectors are bullying us, harassing us. NYPD, which telling us that severe crime is civil matter, and bullying and harassing us as well. Then Department of Investigation, not investigating anything but bullying us. DP, fire department was harassing us. Coming and harassing, I'm coming from the court, my house surrounded by 10 firemen. You know how much it cost to the city, to the taxpayers, to that fire engine coming to me just to harass me and make me to give up my property. And to the point the hazmat told us they're going to make our life miserable. So, and they wanted to do search because this criminal complained that I have chemicals. They're not coming on those kind of complaints. I told them, you go and get the warrant, then we'll talk. He said he will get warrant from the commissioner. You know, and this going to other people, that down to other people, the same, Department of Building, the courts, and in the courts, that criminal calling, and different judges going to the chambers answering someone's call. Who that could be? It's administrative judge. I'm sure about it. And guess what, John? I wanted to everybody hear about this. What we discover, in 2006, Mayor Bloomberg created his executive order 96, illegal one, because he didn't put it through the city.
All executive orders are illegal, but go ahead.
Yes, he didn't put it through the city council. He just took a piece of paper and wrote it himself. By that illegal executive order, he created new agency, and it was in November 2006. That agency is called Mayor's Office of Special Enforcement. What officially, it's not linked to Mayor's Office. You have to find it on your own. So officially, this agency is supposed to be stop financial crimes, city offenders, quality of life offenders, and some other issues. But the problem is, he also even created financial task unit, which had four analysts and had several funds, what they saying to find the financial crime, including real estate property scams and frauds and crimes, and even saying that...
the corruption is so serious that, again, I'll say it again, and I've said it often enough, only the people can save America. New York City shows the true corruption at its worst, and how far it goes, and the payoffs, and what's going on. There's a lot of money down there, and they're going to make sure that everybody's involved, getting a piece of the action. You know, I've mentioned this before. There was a movie out some years ago. I saw Prince of the City, where a cop turned on the other cops and started working with the feds, but he really didn't realize that he was a criminal. And as he started to cooperate more and more, he started to realize he was holding things back and that he himself was a criminal. And that his mentor, his closest guy to him, he had to go and sort of rat on him. He had to wear a wire. And it broke him to come to the end of this movie. It just totally broke the guy to come to realize he did not realize he was a New York City cop, and he just didn't realize he was evil. Okay, we kind of lose that, you know. We do a favor here and a favor there, and in something like the police force and the judicial process and stuff, that is serious stuff, and that's the problem, and that's how bad it is. And the only way to fix this is to fix our courts, because once we have just courts, all these rats will be hiding under rocks, and we'll bring back the decency out of people again, Lord willing, if we could be successful at this. And I do think we have a very good chance of being successful. But yeah, it's bad, no doubt about it. It's serious.
I just wanted to tell you, we took our time because we couldn't figure out. Every time I go to the law enforcement, I knew that they know something that I don't know, and they just fooling me. But every time I go there, they would tell me, how this criminal can, if he pays all those agencies, oh, then your property doesn't, it's too costly to him, then it doesn't add up. Yes, that's true. But what's happening here? It's a perfect crime of all centuries, of all countries in the world. And it was made by analysts. Those analysts would get federal fundings for compensating the victims and for solving financial crimes. They get paid, and the rest of the funding I get, I guess, get went to the Bloomberg's pocket. You know, that's how he can donate billions, and how he became entrepreneur and philanthropist. You know, and celebrating philanthropy. You know, of course, if you steal property from people, if you put them on the street and kill them, it's easy money. You can donate them, but it doesn't call philanthropy. You know, it's called something else. And what's happening? People on duty, like our policemen, three policemen on duty, they're not getting paid by anyone, neither by our criminal pocket, neither by Bloomberg. They get paid by the taxpayers' money. And our
of course. That's what it's all about. They're ripping us off. Of course.
Gorgeous.
Anyway, I don't want to stay too much on the subject, because we really want to get back to the focus of grand juries and creating grand juries and focusing in on that.
We should know this, because...
But everybody knows, look at, you know, if you go out to Philadelphia, has some serious problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out to Illinois, what kinds of, wow, it's really serious out there, too. All the major cities... you know, have these serious problems because you have the high population, you have a high crime rate, and you have the most money involved, and that's the most crime is going to be taking place. But, you know, it's amazing. You know, you got the thing, I think it was back in 70 with Serpico, you know, what he went through. And he had to be, he was shot in the face, and they tried to kill him numerous times, and he just couldn't put up with all the evil. And you know, we thought, you know, from listening to the what took place in the 70s with Serpico down in New York City, and then they made the movie out of him and so on and so forth, and you thought, well, finally, you know, they cleaned up the act. But they didn't clean it up. It never got cleaned up. Some people went to jail, and then other criminals moved in. It's worse than ever. But the only way you're going to fix this is what we're doing. Building grand juries and getting the people, only the people can save America, require and demand justice in their courts. That's all it takes, and everything becomes fixed. It's a magic bullet. It's unbelievable. Matter of fact, I just did a flyer. I got to go through it. It was, Gerard, I know I sent that flyer to you. You never commented on it. Maybe you can add to it. But I'm going to get this flyer out. We're going to be handing this out at Freedom Fest next weekend. Well, this coming weekend. I should have mentioned that anybody in New York or Jersey or Pennsylvania close by that wants to come up to Freedom Fest, it's up on the calendar. It's a big event, really focusing in on the birth of a nation, and it's called Freedom Fest. And I think this is the 13th one, the 13th year. And so we're going to have a table up there. We're going to be up there all day on Saturday. And that's this coming Saturday, we got some speaking time, so we'll be speaking up there too. Hopefully, we'll get some new people into the game with us. So anyway, I just wanted to plug that for Freedom Fest this Saturday. It'll be nice. 9 o'clock in the morning, I think they open and they close at dusk, so 9 to 9 or something like that. We had a great time last year. We were up there. We just had a table. We didn't speak, but. But we'll be up there again, and I called Bob Schultz, and I got him in on that. He's going to be speaking up there, too, and he's setting up a table. In fact, he may set a table up with us. We'll see what happens. But anybody who wants to go up to that, it's great. But back to this. Look, only the people is going to save America. Only the people can fix things, and we have the magic bullet. And like I said, I did a flyer on this. I'll get it up on the site soon. I made this flyer particularly for Freedom Fest. And it talks about the magic bullet. And as crazy as it might sound, those people that are looking at what we're doing and involved, they understand that it is the magic bullet. Fix your courts and you fix the whole country. You fix everything. Just fix your courts. Get justice in the courts and you'll have justice everywhere. All these criminals will start disappearing and running. And we'll always have criminal activity, but they'll be hiding. It won't be in the open. And we'll get them as time goes on. It'll become harder and harder for them to rip us off, to rip the people off and destroy our nation. So,
John, may I just say to you one thing, maybe important for grand jury. and for common law. The thing is that the agency, it's a whole agency called the actually Criminal Justice of New York City, and it includes all five boroughs, controls all five DA offices. That's why DA will never help with the court and with any crimes under color of law. And therefore, they're controlling not only city agencies. They're not only controlling the law enforcement.
None of that can happen unless they control the judge. If the judge isn't a criminal, then there's not going to, then the criminal activity is not going to be there. And that's the key. They can't get away with it. Look, organized crime requires dirty cops and dirty judges. If you can't get a dirty, you can't get a cop to be dirty and a judge to be dirty, organized crime won't work. It's not going to happen. Okay. And especially the organized crime that these people have, because they're doing it, they're just robbing us blind everywhere, and they're out of control. But you bring that judge under order, and require him to obey the law and keep the law. Only the people can do that. Now you just change the whole game. Everything, the Fed disappears, Agenda 21 goes away. I mean, everything you can think of. That in any list anywhere, it disappears.
But this agency controlling the administrative courts and through administrative judges, they get
right. We indicted them all eight executive judges in the administrative level. We indicted all eight of them. They're
great.
Evil. It was their job to make sure justice flowed through New York State. It was their job to make sure that these judges throughout New York State are obeying the law and doing the right thing and are in good behavior. And they themselves are the worst of them all. They are the most evil. They are the, you know, it is Prudente. Prudente, I am hearing, and I know a case I'm involved with right now that she has won, and Prudente has taken, she must do this all the time. She has removed the paperwork of one of the people that we're working with right from the court case. In a criminal case, and she went down and just took all the papers out, and worked out with the judge down there in this case, and it's evil, man. That's why she had no problem doing what she did with us, because she's been getting away with it, but she's going to learn soon, and so is the rest of her partners. So maybe we'll get them in the same cell.
Yeah, and Judge Nipple is one of them, right?
Who?
The one you indicted, Judge Nipple, from Brooklyn Supreme.
How do you spell his name?
K-N-I-P-L.
I don't recall that name. I know Lipman's there, Prudente, there's a bunch of others. I don't recall the names offhand. If I heard it, I know it. I don't recall that name. I don't think we indicted that one. There are other administrative judges. But not on the executive level, they're on a lower level. We indicted every executive level administrative judge, every one of them. There was eight of them. We indicted them all, and we also indicted two or three others that are in the administrative process, but not on the executive level. And then we indicted two judges up in Greene County, and then of course we got that other guy in Columbia County. And we also not Columbia County. There was another guy came from, what was that county that guy came from? He did your case, Gerard. I forget the county he's from. Rensselaer.
Yeah, but they said from Rensselaer. He's up Rensselaer. From the Third Circuit.
Right. So we indicted him, and now this federal judge, and we'll see once how many other judges want to get indicted.
Yeah, that was Elliot, right?
Yeah, Elliot. Yep. So, but they're evil. They're evil, you know?
Guys, how to contact you on Facebook?
Who, me?
Yes, you and Gerard.
John Durash, or you can do National Liberty Alliance. But, you know, I'm not very active on Facebook, but there are people that are on Facebook or that come onto the site that are active for us. I just don't have time to spend time on Facebook, so I don't really respond much. But we do have a few people who are very active on making our site move around.
That's good to be contacted to them. Maybe somehow we can get their and that contact?
Yeah, you mean contact me through Facebook?
Through you and those people who are active, and maybe Gerard as well.
Yeah, I'm too overwhelmed to communicate on Facebook. I'm just, like I said, some other people are doing it on my behalf, and I just too busy. So
I got it. But this is something major, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, well,
how about Gerard?
Huh? Well, you could talk to him. Give him a call.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, John. So, how's your timing now? Can we get through? Because now we're truly getting something good.
Well, get your paperwork together and talk to me. I'm very, very busy this next week, extremely busy. I've been busy for the last 2 weeks now, extremely busy. But, we'll get the paperwork. When I back off a little bit, maybe in a week, I might be able to do something for a day with you, you know?
Okay, now it's really something solid and good.
Right.
Not anymore any blurriness.
All right. Well, let me move on because there's other people who want to get in before the call ends. Okay?
Yes. Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. You too. Okay. Neptune 49.
Hello. How are you doing tonight? This
good,
is Daryl
yourself?
Out of Missouri.
How you doing, Daryl?
Outstanding.
Good.
There's an issue I'd like to bring up to everyone, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
That's the problem that vets are having with the VA. We've got 22 more dead vets. And
my wife's telling me about that. I haven't been paying attention, but go ahead, tell us.
Well, most of them have died because of problems with the medications not working well together. They've been over-medicated, and some of them have not received appointments, even though they were in critical condition and were sent home to die. And it is a real mess. The government is not upholding its agreement with the vets on giving us medical care for treatment of damages received during the different campaigns. And like myself, I was given medication for several years that ate through my stomach, gave me ascites, and by the time the VA decided to move on taking care of my situation, I was in intensive care for 6 weeks and recently found out. Now, that was in 2005, and I recently found out that only 5% of the patients survive the problem that I had. And it was just because of neglect. And they are doing everything they can to push the numbers to get all these bonuses for the administrators that Congress has put through that says that if they take care of vets within 14 days, they get a bonus. So anyone that has an appointment beyond 14 days is put on a secret list, and some of them are held out 18 months before they see a doctor.
Really? Yeah.
And
I haven't really experienced that here in New York. I know when I go up, I go in for a checkup every year up to the VA hospital, and sometimes I go back for a blood test, or if I have to just make an appointment. It does take, sometimes 3-4 weeks to get in to see a doctor. I mean, it's crazy if you're sick. But I haven't heard anything about the 18 months, although my wife's been telling me a lot of problems. And I know I went in for blood test, and I suspect that I have the beginning of diabetes, so I've been doing all kinds of different things, natural things. And it seems to be helping. I'm starting to feel real a lot better the last couple of days particularly, but I've been dogmatic about these things. But I did do the blood test, and I know I should have showed up, and I didn't show up as positive for diabetes. And I went a couple of times. So something may be wrong there. Something's happening.
Well, if the main problem isn't once you have already been established with the VA, you get your appointments pretty regularly. But I'm talking about vets that are trying to sign up for the benefits that they are guaranteed.
Yeah.
They are the
yeah.
ones that are pushed out 18 months.
Yeah, no, I come back from the NAM era, so I've been going
so
to the VA for a long time, and like I said, I go every year just for a checkup, blood test, and all that stuff, and you know, just to keep up to date to make sure you know nothing's wrong. So, but you
well,
know, if I'm
like
really sick or something, you know, the VA forget about it. You know,
just like in Phoenix, Arizona, they said there's as many as 40 vets. Have died in 2 years because they could not get an appointment to start their first appointment with a primary care physician so they could have their treatments identified or started. And one particular vet showed up at the emergency room with a gallon container of urine completely filled with a high concentration of blood, and he had kidney cancer, and they sent him home to die. They sent him home to wait for an appointment to be set, and 6 weeks later they gave him an appointment, and when they called to notify his wife, he was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, well, again, you know, this is our government at their best, which, you know, this is what they do. Look, the government has been infiltrated by Nazis and Marxists. They go under the name, of course, you know, of progressives. They're in all the parties, particularly the major parties, of course, and they're there to destroy America. They've been doing it for a long time. If you've been watching any of the documentaries, the Griffin documentaries, we have all of them up on our website, you'll see exactly how they've been doing this and how it all started, you know, and how it started to be revealed. It was revealed back what was that guy's name? Dodd, with the Reese Committee back in the 40s. And they realized that there was un-American activities going on in our government. And they revealed exactly what was going on, but nothing was ever done because they were too powerful already. By the time Kennedy got in there, and I think Kennedy was going to, he was doing his best to close it down. I truly believe that. He was probably our last real, real good president. And they took him out, of course. But look, they poison our water. They poison our food. There's high fructose corn syrup in everything. You know, as soon as I take anything that has high fructose corn syrup in it, all of a sudden my feet start bothering me. You know, that's the first sign of diabetes, is the pins and the needles in your feet. And
right.
And just all I got to do is just take anything with the high fructose in and pow, I'm done. I mean, I really strive to stay away, but it's in everything. It's in everything, you know. You try to stay away from all this garbage. They got the GMOs. It's destructive. It's destroying us. Our wheat is destroyed in America. They got all this crap going on in the air and in our water. And it's just, these people are evil, man, evil. It's all going to be exposed and dealt with as we become successful, because it's all going to come out in the open. I tell you, it's going to be hell to pay.
Right, and along that line about our food being tainted, the biggest problem with that is the Department of Agriculture, because they have sanctioned all these corporate farmers over individual farmers, and they make it so rough for an individual farmer to sell their product because it runs direct competition with the corporate entities. And they don't follow the rules that the corporates do, which is genetically modified. So I've got a brother, and also my mother and father were on the farm most of their lives. And they can't survive because they're repeatedly told that they can't buy regular seeds, they have to buy the GMOs,
right.
And they can't feed their livestock.
And you have to buy them every year because they don't have seeds within the plant. These bastards, I mean, if you want to talk about evil, wow.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And look at simple things of how our adolescents are maturing at a much younger rate. And that was because
of the
GMO.
And they're sick. All our children are sick.
Absolutely. And you know? It just isn't getting better. It's getting worse.
And they're dumber and dumber. I mean, look what they do in the schools, too. The schools are destructive. You know, again, I'll say it one more time, and I know everybody knows this, but I like to say it from time to time, especially for those who are just joining in with us. Only the people can save America, and we can do it. We're going to do it. If we get up and roll our sleeves up and we get the job done in the next 30 days, we got our 30-day plan, and we got to do what we got to do. And if we get it done, all of this is going to disappear. It's overnight, literally. It's going to happen that quick because, again, once you clean out the house, okay, once you clean out that house, which is ultimately the courthouse, you clean that out and you get justice back in there, you reinstate the entire nation. Everything, you're back to 1789. We're back to the beginning, a restart, and the people are in consent. And we will fix things in our counties. And by fixing things in your county, and every county of America, 3,142 of them, and you're going to fix America. And of course, Washington, if you're fixing in your county, in your state, you're fixing Washington, too. Remember, these people going to Washington, they're coming from your state and mine. We're going to fix these people. We're going to make them obey the Constitution. We're going to make them do the right thing. And when they touch that funny money, we'll arrest them at the border. And that'll be that.
Absolutely. And one thing I would like to request is that everyone try and make a phone call or send a letter or something to their representatives, senators and congressmen, and try to do the simple thing of at least give the vets vouchers that are trying to get into the system so they can be seen on emergency basis at private hospitals and save their lives.
All right, appreciate that. All right, let me move on to the next call. I appreciate it. And anything real quick you want to add before we move?
I just want to give you an update. It looks like on the 21st that Missouri is going to constitute another 40 counties.
Okay, great work.
We're trying anyway.
Okay, well, that's the best we can do, is do the best we can do. Can't ask for any more, you know?
So, and we're in there pulling for you, John and Gerard, and you guys keep up the good work as well. I'm off the air.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller is a wireless caller, 620. Go right ahead. 620, wireless caller.
Sorry about that, John. It's Johnny B.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
State of Kansas has got a vote coming up Saturday.
Great.
We're going to be doing it in Olathe, voting to constitute. We've already got our seal.
Okay, so you'll be coming to the end, or you still got more after this Saturday? You'll be constituted all the way through?
No, we're going to constitute the state in mass and then just kind of follow up along behind us.
Just remember, we've got to continue to build up each county and get new leaders for every county, you know. We still have a lot of work to do, but once we take control, we're going to deal with all these major problems.
Yeah, well, I had a couple of people on the chat window request that I do a state coordinator's call. So I'm going to try to pull something together for Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Central.
Okay.
Have
you been talking with Sheila?
Oh, yeah, Sheila and Charlie and Josh.
Right.
Bet.
Yeah, we'll get all those people together and get on a call, and let's do what we got to do. And remember, the state coordinators, you got to be pushing and working with your county organizers, and you get them activated by calling them up, get on the phones, get conversations going, get them to the meetings on the conference calls, and then call up also the people that aren't on the county organizers but are in the background. Their names are in there. You know, state coordinators have access to all the people in the county. They have all their phone numbers and they got their email addresses. And of course, we want to be trustworthy with that. We don't want to send them garbage or keep sending them email every day, but we do want to make contact with them with the email. But the key thing really is the phone. Give them that phone call and ask them to get active. But the postcards, we're going to be working heavy on that postcard campaign. We need to do that now. Just go out to the jurist tab, highlight the jurist tab, and click on Juris Documents and scroll down a little bit. It's in alphabetical order. You'll see Postcard Example. Let's get a postcard. Get five or six postcards. Have your children sign them. Have your spouse sign them. Have your friends, your parents, everyone. You know, get them to go out and get cards. Send in these cards. Let them know we're here and we want our country back.
The wife and I did four today, and that makes seven in total. I think I'm going to run four a week until we finally get recognized. Thanks for the point. I was going to mention I was going to run everything off the national site as far as contacts. I'm just going to go through there tomorrow and part of the day Thursday.
Right. We did give a list. You're looking for all state coordinators. Talk with, with Sheila, because she's got a list and others, you know, of everyone, of all of the email and phone numbers. Of course, you can get the phone numbers out on the state page, but it'll be helpful also with the email list and get things going. But yeah, get those activities. Get out there and work with the other state coordinators and let's get this nation done and let's do business.
Yeah, I've got Sheila's contact, Dave. Another thing, John, you and your friend talking about the vets. I can't recommend this enough, but Joyce Riley, if you'll get on the Power Hour, thepowerhour.com, in her past guests, on her show guests, she's got the recordings archived, but she's also got their contact information. She's got a big group of doctors that are begging the vets to get a hold of them, and they'll do a lot of it pro bono.
Well, let whoever know to know that we can fix the vet problem once we're in, we will fix this vet problem. We will fix every problem. Problems are going to fix themselves because they're going to straighten out. All we got to do is once they see what we mean business and we're indicting those people who just don't want to obey, believe me, they're just going to straighten up on themselves. A lot of these problems are just going to fix itself. You know, the Bar Association is just going to disappear because they're not going to be able to make their money in the court no more. All the criminal activity and the BS law is irrelevant. They're never going to win. Who's going to hire a bar attorney anymore once
exactly.
You go back to common law? So these attorneys will be bailing out and trying to figure out common law, and we'll have the upper hand on them for a while anyway. But you know, look at they'll start to wake up and realize they've been duped, you know?
Absolutely. I'm panting for the day, John.
Yep, me too.
Bill, I'll give the rest of my time going down the list. Thanks a lot, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to take our next caller. Let's see. It looks like it may be Jason. 201 Jersey, coming up.
John, thank you very much for you're doing a great job. Your reading was fantastic.
Oh, appreciate it.
And I'm so glad that we were one of the five that sent out our paperwork last week. We're just waiting on the rest.
I'll tell you, that Second Chronicles was pretty powerful, huh? I mean, look at God said, don't worry about it. It's not your battle. It's mine. And look at this is what we have to realize. I believe I've known this for a while. I've trusted this for a while. And I believe that it's not my battle. It's his. And I'm just one of his little foot soldiers, a messenger or something, and, you know, do whatever I can do. But it's his battle. And I'm trusting that he's going to win it because I certainly can't do it.
Well,
you know,
I just want you to know you're doing everything right. And you put the paper in. We the people. You don't need to identify ourselves by our own paperwork. You can't identify any person in the common law grand jury or an administrator. That's maybe as an administrator, but
as administrators, we'll let them know who we are. But when you know, we don't identify those as we sit on a grand jury or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely
yeah.
not. And right. and Scalia was very specific about that. You know, we've got that in the paper too. He's very specific about the fact that they don't get to know who we are.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry. We just had a shooting here in Jersey City. Two of my neighbors got shot. I'm sorry, the police are probably asking stuff. My question here, you know, the thing is, the reason why our America's and the rest of the Western world is going to hell is because we are into worshiping things and rather than working with people. A man has more value in giving of himself than giving of his things. And that's from the Gospel of the Red Man, and that's in the last part of the epilogue. Now, the big thing we keep on hearing about is trust. There's a lot of research theory, but the real thing I want to know is get to the paper trail. I want to know, how do we file the money? Who writes the checks? What paperwork they're using? Who cashes it? Who gets the call?
The forensic people on the economic end of this thing will deal with that, and we do have a connection with people on this, and they're going to handle that when the time comes, and they do international stuff, and I'm sure, you know, they themselves can't do it all, but I know they got connections, and other people will come in, but we're going to find the answer to all those problems and situations. It's not going to take much to figure it out. It really needs someone that's a forensic, what would you call it, bookkeeper, a forensic, what's the word I'm looking for? But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but again, that has to be done. Now, and the thing is that now, in the if 3 weeks go by and we're still not where we need to be, I would like to do something with if the government is not going to be doing anything for us.
And they will never do it.
We need to do actually, we the people need to take back our consent, removing them of their authority.
Exactly. As soon as we get in power and we start doing, all we got to do is one or two, and everyone else is going to get into shape. And look at, they're going to be shaking in their boots, you know, and they rightly so. If they got skeleton bottle in their closets, they better be worried. And because the people are coming, and we're not on a witch hunt. We're going to tell them we're not on a witch hunt, and hopefully it'll settle them down a little bit and keep things in order and keep things going while new people come in. But one at a time, here and there, people are going to be stepping up, and they're going to be going to jail. These people have to go to jail. Look at these judges can never possibly pay back to the damages to the people. But we can strip them of everything they got. We could take their houses, their cars, everything that they illegally got. We can. There's other things with this Quawanta. We're not going to get into specifics. People who understand what I'm talking about. So there'll be huge assets there. But these judges, they got to go to jail. It's not for me to decide, of course. It's going to be that trial jury. So they'll figure it out. And I think that's where they're going to end up. They're going to end up putting these people in jail. They're so evil. Look at how much they fight us. I mean,
I'm trying to reach out to my sheriff, and I was told that the sheriff doesn't communicate with me, and I gave it to a lawyer, and writing a letter
that's
now.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry too much about it, because when we get there, we're going to call them down onto the carpet. Now, not that we're going to kick them out of office, but we're sure going to ream them out, though. And we're going to let them know who the boss is and what we expect of him. And then if he doesn't do the right thing, we will kick him out.
Right.
The day will come. The people's day will come. But we need to do it mercifully. We need to do it with humility. And we need to do it honorably.
John, in First Blood... And that's a big thing. They've been drawing first blood and sucking us and being reptiles. And it's one thing, once we find that they're guilty and these identify these enemies of the people, the domestic enemies and the foreign enemies, we can be merciful. We just put them to death very quickly.
We got to be careful, though. You know, I hear what you're saying. Look, I get a revengeful taste in my mouth from time to time, too, and then I capture myself and turn back to God on this thing. Because look at the bottom line. Look at the miracle we read about tonight in 2 Chronicles. Look at the miracle that God performed there. These people that came, they came out of Egypt, okay? And they saw the danger. You know, the King Jehoshaphat and the others, they saw the danger, and they went out to take them out. While they were weak, you know, they weren't strong enough, they could take them out. And God said, no, no, no. And they didn't. Okay. Then all of a sudden they come up against them, and you go back to God and say, God, we didn't take them out. You told us not to take them out. Now we're done. These people are too strong. They're too powerful. They're coming out to get us. Don't worry about it. It's my battle. I'll take care of it. You just sit and watch. And that's what they did. They stood still and watched, and they just were taken out. Okay? And you see, that's what we have to do. We let God handle it ultimately. Let justice handle it. But look at it. If we're going to do justice without mercy, you know, everyone deserves the consideration of mercy. Everybody. Even the most evil deserves the consideration of mercy. Doesn't mean they're going to get it. But and remember, look at it. It's not going to be you and me making these decisions anyway. It's going to be the trial juries. And because we're already... we're tainted with the realization they need to go to jail. I know I am. The trial juries will fix it out, and we'll teach them to be honorable. We'll teach them to be to consider mercy in every way. But they'll have to figure that out, and I think they'll figure it out right. And I think justice will be applied.
And that's the only way to do it.
That's true justice, not revenge. Yes, honorably.
The real thing, somebody brought about the challenges with the VA. The real thing, the challenges I see right now is there's a lot of our vets from Vietnam that have Agent Orange, but the federal doctors from the VA won't even acknowledge that.
We're going to fix that.
I know.
It's kind of late in life for it. The vets are aging, from the Vietnam era. We're in our late 50s, 60s, and even 70s, and, we're getting in the end here, and a lot of them have succumbed to Agent Orange and so on and so forth. But we're going to fix whatever's left when we get to it. We're going to do the best we can, and that'll be that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John. I'm going to sign off, and that's a point. If there's a lot of people on the phone call, I know, and they don't get a chance to listen.
We don't have that many left. We only have one other caller. If anybody else wants to pop up, now's the time to go. But go ahead.
I just think if we can just cut it down, if we look at how many calls there are, I mean, like, it's very important that we hear you talk and the issues that are there. So I need to be concise with things to be happening. But again, John, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing for us, for the nation, and we are all going forward. And again, as much as we try to communicate, it's not the many, it's the few. We don't need a lot. We just need the 2%. And from Outwitting the Devil and Napoleon Hill's, we are owned, 98% of us are earthbounders are owned by the devil because of three things. One of our ignorance, two of our fear, and three that we don't speak our minds. And when we do those, and we opposite of that, we become fearless, and we become enemies of Satan and his minion. And as long as we stand true to our beliefs in God, country, and on our documents of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we'll be stronger for our endeavors. And with that, John, I sign off. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Let me make a point of some of the things you were saying here. 3%, it's actually a lot less than that. A heck of a lot less. We need a really, really small fraction of 1% to do what we have to do. Remember, we only need about 15,000 people across the nation.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's all we need. We need, we ran some math. I think it was 3,142 counties times 4. So that's 12,000, and some counties going to need more than 4. So 15,000. Oh. 15,000 people. That's 4 to 6 people per county. Like I said, most counties will only need 4. Everybody's got to have a minimum of 4. That's the bare minimum. But some counties will have 6, 8, 10, 12, especially down in the city. That's probably about 15,000 people, and that's all we need. So it's really not that big a number that we need. It's achievable, and we've already got 3,000 people, but we already have that 15,000 people. Those people that are on the sidelines, they're fence sitters, and they haven't come in yet, and hopefully that's going to happen soon, and that movement will take place, and we'll get a landslide. But so I think we already have it ultimately. or very close to it. And again, all we need to get things going is one person in a county. That's all we need. Eventually, it'll become two. They'll partnership with someone and a three and a four. We'll get the work done. And you know what? Even if we have to work together with two or three other counties around us to come together. As a matter of fact, we have a plan, another state plan. Once we get in, we'll start talking about it, how we're going to bring the state back into order very quickly. You know, maybe we don't have, well, we don't have enough to people for everyone to do it in each county. Like, let's take New York. We've got 62 counties. And we don't have every single county manned yet. And some counties, we've got quite a few people. And some counties, not so many. But generally speaking, we have a plan to really do things collectively in New York. We're not going to try to do every judge in their own county. We're going to do this collectively. We're working on a plan, and we'll create a model and here in New York, and I'm sure other people will come up with some ideas, and we'll offer our model, and people can build and make that their model better or whatever. But the point is we got some ideas on how to really move things very quickly in the state, even with bare minimum people, and get the job done in 30 days or less.
Yeah, and that's a point. Now, we have the state seals. We didn't have to get the unified American United States seal.
No, we'll never need that because, remember, it's right, the only reason we need to be unified in a national way, ultimately, is for two reasons. Number one, to get into the courts, and we're seeing how that is really, how there's a leverage here for this. And the second one would be in order to work together state to state to bring justice to these SOBs that are really the most evil. So if someone thinks they're going to move to another state and try to escape it, or whatever the case may be, you will deal with it. You know, look at, there are some. We'll have to figure that out as we go. But really, in general speaking, we need to communicate and keep things going and maintain an organization nationally to some degree. But I don't see us working necessarily much in any way of indicting collectively. In the beginning, we're going to do that statewide. Collectively, we got to deal with all the judges. We have to deal with all the sheriffs. We have to deal with all the other oath takers. All of the clerks. We have to deal with the governor's office. We have to deal with the assembly in our state and the senate in our state. And we have to deal with our congressmen and our senators for Washington. And so it's going to take 30 days if we really make a nice plan. And we do a lot of this collectively together in a certain way. We, like I said, we have a plan. We're working on a plan. I think in 30 days or less, we can get everything in order very quickly within our state. And if every state's doing the job, doing the same thing, then we just saved America very quickly, and we've stabilized ourselves. We've brought our sheriffs under back under the Constitution and back under the people, and protective to the county and collectively all the sheriffs in the state collectively protective of the state. Every state doing the same thing. The militia is moving through. I mean, it's just, you know, hey, we're going to fix it if God gives us the time to do it and gives us the win.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a miracle from him. And, look, we talked about Elisha back a couple of weeks ago, and look what God did to Elisha, you know. This is such an amazing story, you know. They surrounded the city to take Elisha, and one of his people came in and was so upset and said, don't worry about it. And he prayed to God to open his eyes, and he looked up into the mountains, and there were chariots of fire. What the heck is a chariot of fire? Okay. Chariots of fire filled the mountains. And he went out and he just said, they didn't even know who he was. He said, you're in the wrong place. Come on, I'll show you where. And he took them into the enemy's camp, and they didn't even know until they got there, and they were totally surrounded, and they could have been totally taken out. I mean, what a story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I know.
God can put all these people under the radar. He can protect us, and he can take these people out. And I'm expecting he's going to do that because we certainly can't do it. I can't do it.
I know, and it's just disheartening. I'd like to be able to send you my affidavit that we developed in New Jersey. It's the wrongdoing. It's called court run. It's wrongdoing the court. It's also can be used at any venue, And if I send it out to you, can you review it and see if we can put that out to the rest of the...
Yeah, send it out to me, take a look, and see once what you got.
All right. I'll put it... I'll send it...
send it to Gerard and me, because if I miss it, Gerard will get it.
All right, I'll do that. And I think I do have Gerard's email. I'll go check it out for that.
Yeah.
If not, I'll give you a call tomorrow, because I don't have... I don't have a piece of paper right now. I'm happen to be in the backyard. Well, John, thank you. God bless you. Keep it going. Keep us running. And if it's not, what somebody said a quote, if you're waiting for someone to help you, no one's coming. Do it yourself.
That's right. Yeah. If you think the next guy is going to do it, forget about it. You got to do it.
You got
it's you.
If it is to be, it is up to me. And it is to, and is everything is possible if you just believe it is, and you believe in yourself. Anything is can be yours. You just have to say it. And there's a part in Napoleon Hill. He says that God wants you to have everything you want. You just have to pray for, be thankful you have, and pray for what you need, and things will come to you.
Well, you better be careful what you want. He might give it to you.
Yes, and that's a real problem. I know that, and that's a real problem in life.
Yeah, I really don't know what I need, so I don't worry about that either.
All right. John, thank you so much. Let the other guy go. Thank you.
All right.
Godspeed. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, we still got a couple more callers. A couple other people jumped in. So next call is 518-382.
Hey, John, it's Jeff Gall.
Hey,
when I first,
Mr. Jeff, how you doing?
How you doing? When I first got in the queue, people were kind of going off on tangents, which I thought was a good thing, so I take an opportunity, but you've since said you don't really want to do that, so you may not want me to, but I was really hopeful that I could find someone, probably
in New
York.
We can do a little bit of a tangent if you want. That's okay.
Okay. Well,
not too long, though. Not too long.
No, no.
We only got about 15 minutes, and we've got two more callers left. But
yeah, no, I definitely don't need much time, but I wanted to see if there's anyone in New York.
Okay, time's up. Next caller.
Anyone in New York that's been successful with the speeding ticket situation, I heard back from the court. I did serve the 50 pages on them. I heard back from the court today. And with the caption of their case, they said that the judge said he's referred to the DA's office.
Yeah, that's what they did to me. They do all that. They always do that to me all the time. They don't refer nothing. Look at, what do you got? You got all this patriotic stuff there. You got all these Supreme Court rulings. You got the Bill of Rights. You got, what are referring to them? What is, has the Bill of Rights become illegal? You know, I mean, let's talk about that when you get a chance. I'd like to see what's going on. I'll give you some thoughts and ideas. And it's a BS letter. That they have sent us the district, not the district, what is it, the attorney general. Boy, the attorney general's coming out to get you. How many times I heard that? And they tried. They don't get anywhere because they ain't got nothing. You know?
I didn't really take it that way. I took it. I mean, the bummer for me was that while I sent the 50 pages to them, I also sent a letter to the DA asking him to dismiss the case to try to work something out with him. And now I'm thinking that now that the DA has seen this, he's gonna say screw you to me.
They'll be a little careful here in New York because they'll relate you to us, and they see us coming, and they know now they got a problem. And look at when we get this indictment out on this federal judge, and we send a copy to all of the clerks here in New York, all of the court clerks, all of the county clerks, and the sheriffs, all the sheriffs throughout the United States. When we do that, and they see that. You see, they're not sure what's going on. I'm sure they're spying in on us, and they're looking at our website, I'm sure. So they're seeing some things happening. But wait till they see what just happened now. Wait till they see this indictment that we read tonight, what's coming up. And wait till they see the letter to the chief judge here, and then the next step we make. Believe me, I'm telling you, they no doubt are Jericho, and they see us surrounding them and blowing those horns, and it's getting louder and louder. I really, truly believe that, and it is like a deafening silence here in New York now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have my case where I sue the credit bureaus and the credit collection law office, and I got a decision from the judge today that basically told the law office that they should make a motion for summary judgment. I mean, you can't be more blatant.
Summary judgment doesn't work, and it doesn't apply to common law. If you've opened a common law case, let
well,
him know.
Well, no. You and I keep saying we're going to talk about that because I didn't know you when I started this case.
Oh, okay. But you can still turn. It's not too late. Hey, I just woke up, you know?
Right. Well, I just don't know how to do it.
That in his case is I just woke up and I realize now the fraud. And let me tell you, this is what I'm doing, and change the whole game, a whole new game plan.
Right.
And the Supreme Court says you can get you can step up and take it anytime you want as soon as you're aware of it. You there's no way of really losing. Even if you lose and then you realize, wow, I've been defrauded. The fraud opens the whole thing right back up. It's a can of worms.
Right.
They're done.
Yep. Well, we can talk about that some other time. I definitely would like to, but
hey,
I don't want
to
keep you guys. What's that?
You heading up to Freedom Fest again?
Oh, absolutely, man. You kidding me? I can't wait.
We'll be there all day Saturday. That's the key. I'm not worried too much on Friday. We'll go up and set up, but then nothing goes on Friday anyway. And and Sunday maybe we'll be up there, but definitely all day Saturday we'll be there. That's the key day, and look forward to see you.
Yeah,
Schultz will be up there. He should be at the same table we're at.
Good.
And so it'll be a nice,
right, cool.
You know, a lot of good food up there and a lot of activity going on, you know, something on that stage all day long. And so it's going to be nice. And no more indoors. They're putting everyone outdoors, which they should
That's
have
a
done.
Good idea.
I don't know why they put this in. It was dumb. Matter of fact, I was going to tell them this year, I'm not coming up unless I can get out. I mean, other than that, I'll go up. I'll just hand stuff out. I won't put up a table because I don't want to sit indoors no more.
Yeah, and all those drawings inside, you know, I'm sure that 90% of people didn't even know they were in there.
Yeah, they didn't. You know? All the activity, we couldn't watch what was going on, you know? We kind of missed
that. Right,
yeah.
That was silly. Yeah, for sure.
All right, Jeff.
All right, man. Talk to you guys.
You
have a good night.
Rant?
Thank you.
Okay.
What's that?
You finished with your rant?
With my what?
Your rant. You were going to rant.
Oh, no. Well, no, I'd like to. I really do want to catch up with you to see if I can, you know, either talk to you or someone that has been successful.
Well, we'll
this.
Be up there all day Saturday this coming weekend. We'll talk.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
I know Ed, if you know Ed, I don't know if he's going to be up there. He was successful at it. You know, there's a lot of people out there. So I've sent some stuff up. I've been successful. Look at the fact that they don't get back to you is success.
Right. Is Ed someone that you think I could call? Or can you
He'll
give
probably
my...
be up there.
Okay.
He'll be up on
know.
The Freedom Fest, I'm sure.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, have a great, good night, guys. Thank you, John.
See you later.
Gerard. Talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.
720. Next caller, 720. We've got two more callers. 720 is one of them.
Hello, John. This is Steven in Colorado.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Doing good. Doing good. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things. First of all, you were talking about how many people it really takes to make a difference, and there's a rule called the square root of 1% of the population is all it takes to get anything done. And of course, with about 307 million people in the United States, it's less than 1,800 people if you use that rule, which is espoused by Greg Braden. You can look him up on the internet. But anyway, I just wanted to fortify your position on that, that it really doesn't take that many people. Also, I would really like
What's
to...
What's the square root of 1%, by the way?
It's the number of people that...
Yeah, but what's the number? I was looking to see if I could figure that out real quick. I'm going to have to brainstorm it.
Well, 1% of 307 million is 3,070,000 people.
Right. Yeah,
and
I know
the
square
root of
that
is less.
Yeah.
The square root, of course, is the number multiplied times itself would equal 3,070,000. So
right.
Less than 1,800 people.
Yeah, it's pretty small because I came up with a decimal of 0.0005, unless it was two zeros, but I think it was three zeros and a five in order looking at, and I was thinking 300 million people or 250 million people. Yeah, 300 million. And I worked it out with 15,000, you know, just to go in the reverse end of things, and I came up with something like 0.0005%. Of 1%, that's less than, that's 0.005 of 1%. It's tremendously small.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need a lot of people.
That's exactly right. And anyway, yeah, you can catch that. And he's a scientist, and he's got writings about it and scientific proof about it. So you can check it out yourself. Greg Braden is his name. But anyway, that was one thing I wanted to mention. The other thing I wanted to do was acknowledge the folks in Colorado that helped get Colorado constituted fully. We got our 64th county done this past Saturday, and there's so many people that stepped up to the plate and really went beyond the call of duty to help get the state fully constituted. The list is so long, I don't want to get started on it because I'm afraid I'll leave somebody off. But I do want to acknowledge them, each and every one of them, and thank them from the bottom of my heart for helping us do this.
Okay.
And that's all I really had, John.
All right. All right, thanks for the call, and talk to you next week.
All right.
Let's go to the last caller, Ron. Go right ahead, Ron.
Yeah, John, that was interesting. Greg Braden is very interesting. He's a scientific-oriented process person, but a very spiritually-oriented individual, and I just was following the math and did the math and came up with the same thing. You know, you had that 1% of the population being 307 million, and then the 0.05% is 15,350 people. So that's what that math looked at. That's not what I called in for, but I thought that was really interesting, and the concept of that, the mass idea and the amount that with unified people, with power in unified people is just really awesome. And it, with truth and doing good things like that, that seemingly few amount of people can have a tremendous effect. I think that's just really great to be said. Okay. I may diverge, and you're certainly welcome to stop me on this. I wasn't going to call in, obviously, I'm the last guy, but I came across something today, and then I had to find it. And it relates to the reading that you did at first. And it's not specifically about the grand jury, but there's been what's been going on, it's been in the news. There have been, over the last several months, they've had a lot of banker suicides. People, actually, I think they've been suicided.
I hear you.
Okay. And then today a thing was published, and it's saying, and I'll just, a couple of little things, but it's talking about a subject, and it's relating to this guy getting an email about white hats acting, kind of not want to take prisoners anymore. And what's happening is, before I get into this, that the quote-unquote cabal or whoever, they're kind of running because they're losing and they're feuding within themselves. That in itself is exactly what the reading was today. Okay. So, and I think that's an example of the whistleblowers or the people that were liabilities because of what they knew, that were bankers that were being suicided. This note here says that, last week three individuals, one each from the World Bank, IMF, and the Central Bank of Iraq, were assisted with their suicides at exactly 9 a.m. Another one was Christine Lagarde, somebody assisted, and that person happened to them. They were shot in the head. The list of dead bankers syndrome is about 40 strong. Now, I got the list from a few weeks back, and it lists them all here. And then at the last bit, it says, on this list, there are representatives from Swiss banking business, the Swiss Bank CEO, Freddie Mac, CFO, a member from Deutsche Bank, Equity Sales Department, and a Rockefeller CIO. List the evidence disclosure. There may be many more assisted suicides, and the reason is because they're whistleblowers. Okay. That's interesting.
Right.
That's an example of what you were reading
that's
today.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to turn around. They're going to kill each other.
That's what's happening. and actually a relative of a Rockefeller, he's an older man.
I know.
Man.
I was blown away by this. I read this during the week, and I went back and I read it twice. I said, wow, I got to read this on Monday because this gives so much hope and so much, it just gives a lot of hope.
I think the fight is going on, and that's exemplifying exactly what the read was today, and that's why I thought I'd offer that just as a divergence, but it really is what's going on. And, yes, I think it's hopeful, and mm-hmm. I don't want to see bad things happen, but, your karma is your karma. You reap what you sow, and they're starting to reap, and I think they're in panic mode, and they're just going kind of nuts about the things because they know the writing's on the wall.
Right.
So that's it. So I'm done.
Okay. Okay, all right, I think that brings us to the end. Let me see if there's anyone else left here. I lost my page here. Where's my page? And then where'd I go? Oh, here it is. Okay. All right, yeah, we picked up another call or two, so let's go through it. We'll make it kind of quick because we just hit midnight. I don't want to go too much over. 570-309, you got the mic.
The people, while doing this process, people should keep their health together. And a friend of mine follow the Healing Code, the book called Healing Code, written by two authors together. And he did that and walking on the grass, and actually he healed something that, permanent damage. And now he's totally brand new. So suggested.
Right, I agree with you. I've been working diligently on my health the past particularly the past couple of months, but I've been trying to work on it for a while now. But I think I got the right recipe of doing all the right things, getting the supplements, getting in just things that need to be done, getting your air, your water, and then time to get the sun now. You know, at least up here in the Northeast, the sun's out. So get all those things, a lot of supplements and vitamins. And and there's a lot of things.
And it's really powerful. So
yes.
Healing Code, you meditate and you walk on the land, and it's really healing. Very
well, absolutely.
Fast.
You know, again, getting back into the Bible here, I've been looking and studying the kings lately, and of course I'm in Chronicles. It talks about these kings and the Book of Kings and so on. And some of these kings, at the end of their life, they got sick and they died of the illness. And God made it clear, you know, that they didn't come to me. Why didn't you come to me for the healing? You know, so positive thinking and focus on God, and God can heal you if you talk to Him about it. So that's part of it too. But we still have to do our side. We have to exercise and take in whatever good vitamins, try to get rid of the bad food. I mean, this high fructose corn syrup is killing us. You know, I've been wanting to do a big lawsuit to Nabisco, Pepsi. I mean, all these different companies that just load up with this high fructose corn syrup and just sue the heck out of them. You know, but we're definitely going to deal with high fructose and all these chemicals and crap and poison in our food as soon as we can.
So that's all.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Last caller looks like Sarah. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Good evening.
How you doing?
Down in Florida, and I just wanted to, I guess, help summarize, you know, congratulations on two more states. That's so awesome. I do believe that we're seeing the beginning of this huge wave of all the people of America pulling together to get this done. It's all just, you know, like the beginning of a wave, and we're going to see this big wave come in because we're all heading into this direction. And, of course, we don't want to see other people suffer, but, again, they made choices, and they refused to change. They refused to see the change on the wall. They refused to see that there's spiritual, you know, orchestration going on. So we're seeing certain people have a lot of pain, but we're also heading in as this wave of the American people take back its control of the court. We're also going to see all the fruits and blessings of liberty. And that's what we should all be keeping our goal on and visions of, and know that these are God's promise to His people.
Well, right. He does talk about giving us that liberty, and our founding fathers got it right when they crafted the Constitution to protect the blessings of liberty, not to protect liberty, to protect the blessings of liberty. And that's a key point to think about that. So, Yeah.
Exactly. We have a lot of fruits of blessing that are just waiting to come out, like with this QEG, you know, the renewable energies. We have so many organic farmings that people have developed over the last 5-10 years that increase what people can grow by tenfold. There's just so many things, all the natural healing, so many beautiful things, so many beautiful creativities that are just waiting for these blessings of liberty.
Mm-hmm. All right, appreciate it.
So God bless everybody.
All right, thank you. You too. And one last caller, 201, is that Jason again? You back? Well, is there anyone else that lives in Jersey?
There are other people, but I don't know they want to get on. We have 49 people that are listed, and another up to like 73 that total. My statement is there is a group called the Citizens Campaign.
You know, it wasn't long ago when there was only a handful of people in Jersey. It wasn't
right.
That long ago.
Yeah, and I've been doing this since we met Gerard in October when we went online and was videotaped by Paula and Joe, and it's magnificent. I met last Saturday. There's a group called the Citizens Campaign. It does citizenship for people to get involved in unfortunately, they call it democracy. We know we live in the republic. But again, I touched base. The guy wants to go national, and he liked the fact of what I was doing with National Liberty Alliance. So I have another outlet, so we can get more people involved in We the People and our cause. That's one thing. I have to reach out and start sending out some paperwork. The other thing, John, is that the reason why you have type 2 diabetes, correct?
Yeah, I suspect it, yes.
Because it wasn't there in your family. Type 2 diabetes is basically because of our diet.
Diet and weight particularly. And I'll tell you right now, you know, sometimes I take some sugar and it doesn't really bother me. I'll drink juice, okay, and I'll take things that has sugar in it. But the moment I take something that's got that fructose corn syrup, forget about it. That night, it's hard to sleep.
I try to stay away from sugar. I don't even take any more soda. Occasionally I'll have soda, but I don't do that. Plus I don't eat beef because that's very hard to digest along with pork. But again, the way you can help yourself is through good quality supplements. And again, the company that I work with as a representative, New Skin, is actually I've had people who are diagnosed with diabetes, it went away. People who were on dialysis taking the supplements went away. People who were supposedly told they were only be able to live for another 5 months are living now 5 years later. Again,
exactly.
I cannot say this will cure you, heal you, or prevent you. This is by the FDA and our wonderful government of their regulation. But again, there are a lot of companies out there that say they do X and they don't do Y. But our company can actually show the difference with our technology. But again, I like this. I'll send something on to you through the email of New and Gerard. Again, the thing is I can't do anything for anyone. Remember, you can't save a man if he doesn't want to open up his hand and say.
Well, that's right. Yeah, look at just about every disease out there can be cured. Just about hemp oil cures huge amounts of diseases. You know, and that's one of the things I'm doing right now is hemp oil.
Right.
And you know, we got it up on our website, anybody who wants it. It's a huge number of diseases that hemp oil deals with. And it's a legal hemp oil, you know. Also, vitamin B17, also known by the name of Laetril. Now, they've made vitamin B17 illegal in the United States, but there are ways you can get it legally. I buy Laetril from a company out of California, and then they ship from Mexico, and somehow that's legal. So figure that out. In any event, you know, they don't want you to have that vitamin B17 because vitamin B17 completely eradicates cancer. If you get vitamin B17 in you and maintain it, the likelihood of you getting cancer is really, really slim. And so, you know, cattle, you know, there's a lot of vitamin B17 in different grasses. And cattle will pick up, over the winter, they'll pick up these growths and stuff in their bellies. And as soon as they start eating grass, they discovered how they tend towards, the ones that get the growths, how they tend towards certain grasses. And those certain grasses have vitamin B17. And the growths, you know, these tumors go away. And so hemp oil, again, Run from the Cure, if anyone's seen that video. Laetril, World Without Cancer, that's one that Griffin did. And that's just two. There's MMS, you know, there's two forms of MMS that cures cancer, cures diabetes, it cures all that stuff, everything. Almost, you know, it's just like, it's almost like a magic bullet. But they've stripped that out of our society, and they made it all that stuff, they try to make it illegal. You know, they'll tell you, don't take that MMS stuff, that's poison, it'll kill you, it'll burn up your esophagus, and it'll do this and it'll do that. BS, I brush my teeth with it, and when I feel I got something, illness coming on, I start popping, I make the capsules, fill it up, and start taking those pills.
Well, I just want you to know that for 3 years I'm not on any medications. I have, you know, different ailments, and I have asthma, odor reflux, all these things. And I don't even take any of those medicines. I just take my supplements from Nu Skin, and I'm healthy. I look younger than people half my age. I'm 61. You saw me back when you did the last county in Staten Island. Did I look 60 at that time?
No, you look about 80.
All right, thank you.
You opened yourself up to that one, you know.
That's all right. You're blind, and I'm feeling good.
Are you going to try to make it up to the festival this? Because you're not too far.
I have to see what's going on for myself.
Well, if you can make it up, it's this, you know, this Saturday is the big day, so it's going to be an all-day event. A lot of poisonous food up there. You know, enjoyable poisonous food, you know.
I got to have some kind of food. I'll see what I can do. I can't promise anything. I have to see what my schedule likes for the weekend, but it's going to be, you always put on a good show. And thank you for a good night. And with that, I bid adieu it to you and you, and everyone who's out there who's still listening. God bless you all. Believe in yourself. Nothing that others say will harm you if you don't believe them. And take it from someone who was called retarded at a young age. And I did high school and college in 6 years instead of eight. I'm no genius. I just wanted to prove to everyone that who is the fool. And I've been that kind of a person all my life. And I don't need people to tell me what to do. I know what I need to do. And everyone, if you have confidence in yourself, anything is possible.
All right, Jason, thanks for the call. Godspeed. Right. We got one more caller left. Someone else came up. Looks like Gina. Go right ahead, Gina. Try to make it quick.
Hi, Jason.
And by the way, I just posted the paper. Anybody wants to read it, up on nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on the news tab, and it's on the top. It's posted, 6/17/14, federal judge indicted, True Bill Sutterby, PDF. So, okay, go ahead.
How you doing, John?
Good. How you doing, Gina?
All right. I just want to let you know I'm here all the way from Jersey. I've been on the call, just listening, taking everything in.
Great.
I have a question, but my prayers are always in for what we're doing, and I feel the presence of the Most High Spirit moving throughout.
Amen.
And helping and guiding us. And I know victory is ours. You read Revelation, and you know how it turns out. So
yeah, we win at the end through God again. You know, God God takes care of it. So.
Okay, so I want to say hi to everybody that's on the call, and God bless you all, and just keep doing what we're doing, and victory is ours.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for the call, Gina. We'll talk to you next week, Lord willing, and I guess that ends it for the night. Good night, everyone, and I guess we'll end it for the evening.